participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hello.
And so I turned to John and I said, I guess I'll have to take it out. Okay, it is the best of Don and Mike. Hello! It's your old buddy Rob Spiewak, and I've got the job that you want, running the best of Don and Mike. You know what the best thing about being a part of the Don and Mike show is? All the great people I get to meet, and probably one of my favorites is featured in this first segment. His name is Joe Ardinger. His name is John O'Grady. And he will discuss the art of call screening. It's Joe on the best of Don and Mike. Joe!
There
Joe.
It is. Robbie, we'll need to load in the Joe theme. Joe to the studio, please. Joe Ardinger.
Joe's not just a name, it's an idea.
Well, we're waiting on Joe to get his headband in here. We just did a commercial for a wireless phone company, Singular Wireless.
They're
a great sponsor of the show. I'll tell you an ad I've seen on TV that just has driven me nuts. Everybody's got the picture phones now.
Right.
And a lot of people have the picture phones with video. And they have some relatively clever commercials. Here's the one that drives me crazy, and maybe it's just me. I know you've seen it. But the one where the little boy's in class, and there's a rat in a cage.
Oh, I hate that one.
And
yes.
He's taking a picture and sending video, and he goes, "Mom, the rat looked at me. The rat looked at me." And then the mom's sitting on a bench with the guy from the phone company.
I never get this emotional.
Right. Here's my question. What 7-year-old has a $200 cell phone in school?
Yeah. Well, I mean, someone was telling me, I thought you were saying this the other day, that kids, all kids today, like starting about 15, have, or like 12, have cell phones.
But he's younger than that.
Yeah. And probably it's permeating that, too.
Well, anyway, that pissed me off. Hi, Joe.
Howdy.
It's time.
I didn't even have bread when I was that age.
It's time not for Ask Joe, no. Not for Stump the Joe.
Joe.
I called Joe in here because I got an article I'd like to share with you from the industry's Bible, Radio and Records.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Actually, we have two different articles on the same topic, so we'll be able to do this twice.
Oh. And I'm really looking forward to Joe's insights and his theories about some of the ideas in these articles.
Well, the first is from Radio and Records, and it's a big, gigantic article. We won't have time to read all of it, but it says, The Art of Call Screening.
Uh-huh.
And then from Talkers Magazine, here's an article called Call Screening Guidelines, Manning Talk Radio's Velvet Ropes. all right, here you go. I think that I'm going to go with the shorter one first.
Wouldn't another word for the call screener be the bouncer of the show?
Yeah.
Well, I am an artist, too. This just makes another realm of my artistry.
Artistry.
Let me see.
Or so.
I don't know which one of these to go. I'll go with a shorter one first. Because we can do the other one another day this week.
Very good.
This is from Talkers Magazine. Call Screening Guidelines. Manning Talk Radio's Velvet Ropes. There's an old vaudeville barb. You know.
But now there you go. That's how you start
right there.
On.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You're starting an article on radio with a line like that. There's an old vaudeville barb that goes, he didn't stop the show, but he definitely slowed it down. There are many things that can drag down a talk show, but just about the worst is a bad phone call. We've all cringed when a talk show host's dramatic, impassioned churn is immediately followed by a drone on a cheap phone who wants to belabor a burned-out topic from last week.
Mm-hmm.
Not to worry. Your trusty columnist rides to the rescue with handy hints for all phone screeners.
Boy! Joe.
There you go. It's for Joe.
God, the writing style already. It's
I was going to say, it sounds like he only has 200 words.
No.
I feel like I'm watching Citizen Kane.
Here's the first lie. Screeners, the calls you select to go on the air are just as important as the guests chosen each night for David Letterman and Jay Leno.
Your theories on that, Joe? Okay, very good.
Your hosts do what they do, but the callers, radio's guest stars, can make the difference between a bad show, a good show, or a superior show.
I hope our callers aren't listening difference. To this.
No.
Callers set the tone for topics on this show. Mm-hmm. The energy level of the program. I say that's true, except that sometimes the energy level becomes very angry when we get mad at them.
Bad energy.
And much of the entertainment and information value therein. First, some philosophy. Then hints for the screening of phone calls.
Hints.
Call screening philosophy. Tell me if you believe in these,
okay.
Joe. It's better to have no call than to allow a bad call on the air.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Always begin each hour and each segment with your best available caller, regardless of who called first. Well, see, you really don't have a choice in that, because
right. Yeah.
Joe just puts them all up, and either I take unscreened ones,
well, then
but
you
could,
guys are both
I could
both.
Agree with that mm-hmm. in principle.
And, although I'll see a lot of times if Joe puts, like, on the screen, big A-hole,
right.
I'll go to that one first.
Yeah, but, you'll, no, you'll put the good caller on, too. I mean, you will... If you come back from a break and Joe's got four calls up there, and there's one particular call that's got the, you know, the topic that you think is going to be the best, you go to that first, won't you?
Yeah, but that doesn't happen.
And the a-hole callers that I do put through, I know are going to be good a-hole callers, and I know that you're going to go right through.
Well, in our case, and I hate
may go right to them. I don't know.
I hate
where
to keep interjecting
go.
Here, but what it is the a-hole callers on our show are usually the best callers. Mm-hmm. I don't mean that for every segment, but sometimes the a-holes. In a group of calls are going to be the most interesting.
Right.
I hate to say that because now I'm going to generate
courage.
No, you're not, because that's why we have a screener, Mike.
Joe.
Joe, right, Joe.
Joe.
There's nothing wrong with older callers as long as they're still thinking young.
Well, we had that guy yesterday.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, he was.
In between your screening duties, listen to the show so you know where it's going. Oh, this is where you're a big loser, Joe. To what's been said and how the callers you have selected sound on the air. Call screening guidelines.
There we go.
And for those of you listening, isn't it amazing to you that there's a publication the disc jockeys read that actually tell them how to do this?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's for the shows where... And this is always...
It's for the up-and-comer.
Yeah, the beginners.
To me, it's always the sign of a bad radio show when you're listening to a show and the guy says, all right, 37 past the hour, we got a break, but I want to say Mike, Joe, Buzz, Rob A., Charlie, and Lisa, all waiting on hold. Stay there through the break and we'll come to your calls next.
Am I hiding my desperation as well as I should? I'm saying this because I don't want to lose you.
Call screening guidelines.
Right.
Start each potential caller interview this way.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Let me get a pen and paper.
This will be good.
Bobby Blab Show, what would you like to talk about?
Is that what you say, Joe? You do say that. Donna Mike, so what
Donna
do you want to
Mike,
talk about?
What's up?
Mm-hmm. If the caller can't convey a simple outline of his or her topics...
See, I'm thinking now maybe this will help.
Ask him or her to think a specific question or comment and call back later. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If the caller has on-air potential, but you're not sure, ask a simple question or two and see how quickly the caller responds. Ask yourself if the caller's comment is relevant to the subject, guest, or program. Talk to the callers long enough to make sure their ideas are concise. Listen to the people that call this show. And thought through, but don't talk so long that you deflate their passions before they go on the air.
Yeah, I want to keep them nice and fresh, Joe!
If you don't like the caller's rap, say, I'm sorry, but your comment doesn't fit the show.
I don't have time to say that.
What do you say when you're blowing them off?
Nothing. What? I hang up on them.
Joe, you're supposed to say... I'm sorry your comment doesn't fit the show today. You might try another program or call us another day. Thank you.
That took 7 seconds. I don't have 7 seconds.
Well, how stupid is that? You might try another program?
Uh-huh.
You don't do that.
No.
Never lose them.
Now, Joe.
Close
them. Joe, here you go. This one's all about Joe. Do not let callers waste your critical time arguing with you.
Mm. Precious time.
Precious.
Be polite.
But be firm.
Please, please, please. If a caller has been on hold more than a few minutes, check to make he or she is still on the line. so the host doesn't end up with dial tone.
Also, it doesn't hurt to lie and say, you're next.
Wow. God. Doesn't hurt to lie.
Stay right there. You're next.
Got it.
A lot of times.
2 hours later, stay right there. You're next.
Tom, hang on. They're coming right to you.
A lot of times. Rob and I will get the biggest amount of joy by looking on the screen and seeing how long someone's been waiting to talk.
Yeah, this is true.
And a lot of times, even on the air, I say, okay, this guy's been waiting 25 minutes. This guy's been waiting an hour and 10 minutes.
And if somebody's over a half an hour, that usually means they've got issues.
But if I hang up on them, they'll just call right back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I call that parking them. And with the new phone system, we do have room to park them.
Okay. When guests or callers give phone numbers, websites, book titles, jot down the information for the switchboard. your fellow call screeners and programming secretaries.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine if you worked in a place where you really had a programming secretary?
Hello, can you?
Programming secretary. You know, sooner or later, someone's going to want the info.
What would you like to ask Mr. Mellon?
That's exactly what I was thinking of. I'm taking notes for Mr. Mellon.
Finally, it's better to have no call than to allow a bad call. This is worth repeating. It's better to have no call than to allow a bad call.
That is true.
That is true.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the more boutique version of this.
Yeah, but I bet this one's more jive. R&R is a little more jive.
The art of phone screening.
R&R talks down to its readers a little bit more.
Yeah. Behind every great talk host is a great phone jockey.
Hear, hear.
That right there.
Hi, how are we today? While no one would suggest the real star of a talk radio show is anyone other than the host, most hosts will admit it's the people behind the scenes who are responsible for the success of their program.
Don't you agree, Don?
Did you hear Rob in the background? Oh?
They've never asked us. Although...
I'm getting an awful lot of
how's Joe so successful.
I always forget the timing when Joe is in here, when Joe talks, when we're all talking.
Although any number of individuals are important backstage playing on a show, the person screening calls is truly the key player to any radio show.
There he is, man talking at the same time as me.
Yeah, me and Mike in here laying our asses on the line every day, busting our balls, but the most important person is Joe.
Joe.
Wow.
Let me see. His job?
Well, it's an art.
Is solely to answer phones or produce the show while screening callers, and it is an art that can only be appreciated by a talk show host who has lived through good and bad screeners. Geller Media International President Valerie Geller has spent most of her professional career...
Yuri's sister.
Helping talents and supporting players create powerful talk radio shows. How do you screen great calls? Whether you're in New York or Los Angeles or a much smaller market, call screening is the most important ingredient to a successful live talk show.
Wow.
If you work with a show that's live and audience participation, you already know what a great caller can add to a broadcast. Conversely, you know how bad a bad caller can be.
Hello.
Can be a show killer. So how do you screen calls effectively? Are there methods to coach average or mediocre callers? That's what I hate when you're coaching people.
Yeah.
That reminds me of when we used to have Carney Aline Cunningham on the show.
Oh, we'd have Slicky Boy in the back room saying, all right, why don't you tell her you're really ready to kill yourself.
Yeah, we used to have this kindly old, she looked like Mrs. Santa Claus, this psychic on the show.
Yeah, she smelled great.
And I don't know if she had psychic ability or not.
She had psychic ability, all right.
Because her son, who was her manager, and incidentally just ran her into the ground.
Yeah,
from the
she's still alive.
Gig. I think so. They still call every once in a while to find out if we're still interested in having them on the show.
She was popular.
Yeah. This guy would lie to people on the phone and say, okay, Mama's not going to like that. That's too boring. I want you to tell Mama that you had lesbian thoughts about your coworkers,
Mama.
And for a while, Mike and I was going to go, wow, you know, where are these great callers when we're doing our show every day?
Yeah. He's back there. Well, he knew what he was doing. He made it entertaining.
Let me see.
You tell Mama right now, you're thinking really about blowing up the whole house, okay?
Let me see. Good call screeners look for the offbeat caller. Normal people don't call talk shows. Normal people are not interested.
Amen.
It's the weird one with the strange experiences and visions or stories to tell who make for those truly magical moments on air.
Now, wait a minute. If the weird one, that's a truism.
They're really romanticizing this whole process.
They are.
Because really, basically, Joe just back there dealing with a-hole after a-hole after a-hole.
Relentless.
Sometimes a great show has no calls, while a bad show can have full lines the entire time. The number of blinking lights is a false indicator of how well a show is going. Unfortunately, disc jockeys like to see boards full of calls. Disc jockeys get nervous. With some disc jockeys, it's not a bad idea to cover the telephone lights so they can't see how many people are calling.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, you knew it was going
to
be
in there. Somebody that applies to.
Who? Say it. Who?
John Paul Flame. Bring out the gaffer's tape, baby. I love you, JP, you know.
Oh, God.
You used to stare at him?
Now, here you go. Now, Joe, this is a rule that you break with our permission. There are no rules about regular callers except one. Regular callers should never get on. In fact, I've been known to fire hosts who regularly put regular callers on their show.
Oh, my God.
Now, listen, I would agree to this to an extent, that if you got a guy who says, hey, I called you yesterday, or a guy who calls 4 or 5 days in a row, and he's just boring.
Right.
But, you know, I'd say the exception to that rule is Tom.
Well, yeah, or any of the
or Mr. Quirky.
Yeah, weird
to
guys.
To Tom's credit, lately, he's been calling maybe once and twice a week.
Now listen to this.
This is so jive.
You know, we're going to have to break, and Joe, I'm going to have to come back to this tomorrow, because this is a 3-4-page article.
That's because it's an arc.
But listen to this. Listen to how flowery this gets. Here's what a screener should think every time he or she answers the phone. Can this caller take my audience? You know, and listen, small point. It's not Joe's audience. You know, it's me and Mike with our asses
right
on the line.
Mm-hmm.
But can this caller take my audience on a journey they could not take on their own?
Oh, Jesus.
Has this caller experienced everything my host is talking about? Can this person add new information, a personal experience, or a strong, passionate opinion?
Let me stop you right there. Hold on. Joe, in all seriousness, how much time do you take to make one of those determinations? I mean, really,
Exactly.
It's split second, is that what you're going to say?
Second, and I have my own way to qualify people quickly. And I also, one thing I try not to do is do my own show in the screening room.
All right, listen,
they're either going through or they're not.
Joey, we don't have time.
Interesting. Because, now, I mean, they're putting,
I could,
imagine putting that much thought process as fast as this show moves into a call.
I could continue this into the next break, or we can do it another day. You guys let me know. I mean, I got a full show here, but I'll just tell you this.
I think we ought to take some calls.
The next part is about how screeners should coach and direct calls before they're put on the air.
No.
Then there's an entire 3-paragraph, 4, 5, 6, 7 paragraphs on coaching callers.
I think it might get me in a bad mood.
Then there's another section of the article called How to Say No to a Caller. Then there's communicating with the host. Sequencing is important.
Sure.
And finally, call screeners, you are important.
Aww.
That's the last part of the article.
I think maybe next time. Sometime else. Like maybe Christmas.
I feel a warm and fuzzy.
I think it's funny. I think it's funny.
It is funny because Joe's got his little ways of dealing with his calls.
I'll come up with a list of how I handle it.
Why don't you do that for tomorrow? Come up with your list, and I'll compare your list to the list from
the
article.
Geller. And he can look at the categories, and he can come up with his own list.
Yeah, he can write his own
article.
There you go. Come back tomorrow, and we'll revisit this tomorrow.
That's homework, Joe.
Because even though he's the world's oldest phone screener, and he's generally just lazy as the day is long,
mm-hmm.
Joe's good at what he does.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
And it's hard for Joe, because we take a lot of unscreened calls, and a lot of times it's like, get this guy on the air right away, the guy that just called back.
Didn't somebody share with us one time that we take really more calls by number than any show in the country.
We had some consultant one time tell us that it was a mistake that you and I don't stay on the phone longer with every person. That we take so many calls rapid fire in a row.
Yeah.
And I believe what they said is it's hard for the listeners to keep up with you guys.
Yeah,
it would
right.
not be an exaggeration to say that there are days when it's like 400 calls come through, 100 an hour. That would not be an exaggeration.
400 calls during a show, and that
That's
is tough to
common.
Be.
Common.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know one day I actually...
You counted?
Marked them down with the pen, just knocking them off. And
okay. Well, see, now, right now, Joe, you tell me. Right now, we have 7 lines are ringing.
Mm-hmm.
Should I be worried?
No.
Would J.P. Flame be worried?
Well, he'd wonder why they weren't on hold and, you know... J.P.'s big thing was, don't let it ring. Just put them on hold and then come back to them.
Because you don't want
they might
miss,
run away.
Because you don't want to miss any of the magic.
They might not ever call back.
Don't lose them.
What if?
We're going to be right back coming to you, caller.
Okay.
On hold.
Have I lost weight?
Joe. Joe's getting some stuff out of his system today. That's fine with me. Joe had to work with JP for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, let's, I just like taking him on screen like this, though. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
That's why we're constantly having to tell people to turn their radios down because they're right. on screen. Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
Don and Mike, I am not a normal caller.
Is this the Mike Landis guy?
That's a regular caller. Yeah.
This is Brian Bolter.
Goodbye, Brian Bolter.
I've missed him.
Okay, you guys.
All right, he breaks the mold. We got a break. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, yes, of course, the pen. You seen as the guard writes for this?
Absolutely, sir.
You'd kneel before me?
Boy, would I.
Yes. Then I'll form my own religion. With its own symbol. We'll use this special K.
I believe that's already a breakfast cereal, sir.
Can people worship it?
In a way.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Oh, shut up. God, everything's going right today. It is the best of Don and Mike with your old buddy Rob and the good sounds of Rod Stewart behind me. You know what that makes me think of? It makes me think that you better register to vote. It's important, you know. Infinity Registers America. Yes, Infinity Broadcasting, standing behind this company-wide initiative. Folks, if you're not registered to vote, you can't possibly make a difference. So get out there today, register to vote, and when the election day comes up this November, you'll be ready to cast a vote for your least hated candidate. With that in mind, let's move on to the best of Don and Mike. When I think politics, the natural segue, I think of Maurice Bennett. He is the toast man. Of course. He makes art out of toast. I think you'll enjoy this. I know I will. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Lisa found this at FHM Magazine. Maurice Bennett, the toastman. The toast man.
Toastman. I bet he calls himself the toastman.
New Zealand's most renowned artist. As you can see, Mike, here in... Here's some of the pictures he's made of toast. There's Elvis. There's a giant, looks like a box of candy. And a picture of a jacket that he's made out of toast.
All out of toast.
Wow.
The toastman.
These works were done in canvas, which had been ripped, molded, and shaped, then hardened using polymers and resins. Finally, they were painted and displayed. And
were they space-age polymers?
Don't know. All I know is that this dude makes art out of toast. So, we don't want to talk to him. Which one of you wants to do the interview? Now, you have to keep it going for 5 minutes.
Now, you're
going to
have one person or two people?
Just one. Now, we can go either with a guy or with a girl.
I think I'd love to have a guy. I'm sorry. I know, I don't want to discriminate, but, you know, it seems to me a guy would be a little goofier.
Okay, Mike, would you like California, Maryland, Virginia?
What part of California?
The part you don't like.
I think Virginia sounds good to me.
You got it. Peter.
Hey, Don and Mike, how's it going, guys?
I knew I made a
pumpkin eater. Hi, Pete, listening on WJFK, right?
That's right, 106.7.
Beautiful. Thank you, Pete. WJFK FM, I might want to point out.
Mm-hmm.
The deal is this, Pete. Your name is going to be, for today's show, Dick Charming.
I love it.
Dick Charming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like one of those Pat McGroin things. It's just say,
not Phil McCracken.
No, just Dick. Dick Charming. Mm-hmm. And you're filling in for the Don and Mike show. Your background is this guy's in New Zealand. He is the Toastman, and he makes art out of toast.
His name is Maurice Bennett.
His name is Maurice Bennett. Now, if you hold on just a moment, Rob's going to call him up.
And, Dick, when you get on the line with this guy, if you could perhaps just say at one point, thanks for joining us on the Charming Show.
Not a problem.
Thank you.
Hi, Mike.
That's the only coaching I'll do. Rob, how are you?
Great. Is Buzz around?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi,
Rob.
Actually, you might want to tell him you're Charming Dick.
God.
Charming Dick.
Charming Dick.
Hi, Rob. I'm calling. Do you hear that ring?
Oh, there's the ring. Now, Rob will get the guy's permission to go on the air.
Very good.
You tell him you're Charming Dick.
Will that be his standard name?
Yeah.
Charming Dick.
Charming Dick. or you could even, if you want to do some sugar, say my name is, you know, my given name is Dick Charming, but for the radio show, I'm Charming Dick.
Very good. That's perfect. Yeah, and when you explain that, he'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
And if you keep this guy on for 5 minutes.
Yeah, hard.
I'm looking for Maurice Bennett.
Here we go.
Bennett. Maurice Bennett. Hello? Hi, do you speak English?
Lisa set this thing up a week ago.
I'm looking for Maurice Bennett. Okay, thanks.
What are they looking for him?
I'm on hold.
Are they having a little googly funny, you know, timey kangaroo down, kiwi orange surprise?
Yes, Mrs. Broyhill.
We just called the grocery store. Maurice Bennett owns a supermarket in New Zealand, which is decorated on with his works of toast art all around. So, and he's got Bennett Beer, which is a very famous beer in New Zealand. So he's multi-purpose.
You don't have to sell this bit. Don't worry about it.
We're sold.
I was just wondering what Rob is hearing funny music, because that's what I was hearing when I was on hold.
Yeah.
It's a grocery store.
Did you get a computer answer and then you hit two?
I stayed on hold for the next available something or other.
Yes.
How many days until your wedding?
11.
Are you having a bachelorette party?
I did.
You already did?
You did.
I kept
it
a secret.
Did you have a guy with a big come out?
I don't know if you can say that on the radio, but no, I didn't. I was asked if I wanted a stripper and I politely declined.
Well, that'll...
I did almost get in a fight.
Really?
With another bride.
Why?
We were down on the dance floor dancing. I had this big, beautiful, elaborate hat that Kathy Didi, my mom, had made that had bride and groom and glasses on it. Real, really cute. And this girl with
sounds classy.
All right.
I'll bring it in tomorrow, actually. It's
please
really
do.
Cute.
Please.
And this girl, all she had on was a cheap little veil, and she poured beer down on me. Over the edge, poured beer on me.
Dear. I hope you beat her over the head with your copy of Legally Blonde.
Charlie's Angels is the one I carry with me.
Where was your party? Where did you party at?
We started at Dee Dee's house in Leesburg, and then we went to Black Orchid in Sterling, then Polyester's, and we danced all night. And my
very
mom
cool.
came.
Mm. Wonderful.
Isn't that
cute? Good for her. How many years has it been for her?
And she got laid?
No, you said, you know, you never mind. You got him, Rob?
Oh, with you. Oh, now I didn't get that.
You did a little. Yeah, I can always count on Buzz.
I had that same thought.
How long it's been?
Shocker.
Well, Rob, what's happening?
He's transferring the call to his office. He's got a really high voice.
Jesus, I'll tell you, for being some who makes art out of toast, Lisa's had to work like a week to set up an interview time with this guy. Well, the good
Hi,
news
Maurice,
is...
how you doing? Great.
The interview now only has to be 3 minutes long.
You in a minute. His name is Dick Charming. Don and Mike are not in today. He'll be speaking to Dick Charming. And hang on, when you hear the next voice, you'll be on American radio. Thank you for taking the time. Guys, right on.
All right, now let me see.
Is Buzz going to give an intro?
Yeah, Dick Charming, are you still there?
Sure am.
All right, now after Buzz gives you your intro, you're on. Are you ready?
I'm ready, let's go.
All right, you got to keep it going for 3 minutes.
Five.
Understood.
And?
I said five.
Well, Rob, look at the clock.
All right, just making sure.
Yeah, all right, three, at least three, maybe.
All right.
Five. Okay. Remember, now, we're taking away from Buzz's news time.
We
get more than three. Here we go, and Buzz, I'll push the button on this toast guy and then give us the intro. And go.
Welcome back to the Westwood One Radio Network's Dick Charming Show. And now, here's Dick.
Hey, thank you, Buzzy. I tell you what, guys, we're back here on the Dick Charming Show. My name is Dick Charming. I've got a real treat for you guys this afternoon. I've got a man by the name of Maurice Bennett on the line. And let me tell you something. Maurice makes art out of toast. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Art out of toast. Maurice, are you there?
Yes, good evening, Dick. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Maurice? How's the weather down under?
The weather's down under. It's a brilliant day. It's actually morning down here. We've got sunshine. We've got no wind. It's just perfect.
Fantastic. Have you got bit by an alligator lately, Marty?
I'm sorry?
What? Did you get bit by an alligator lately?
No, an alligator.
Yeah, an alligator. And you got some caught
Did you get
away?
Bit by an alligator recently?
We had alligators in New Zealand. That's Australia. We're New Zealand, remember? Seaweeds and mountains.
Oh, boy, I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we got a character on our hands today. Now, this guy makes art out of toast. Is that correct, Maurice?
I'm the toast man.
You are the toast man. Well, I'll tell you what, there, toast man. I am the Charming Dick. My given name is Dick Charming, but I go by Charming Dick. I prefer the latter, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I can understand.
Okay, then. Way to go, buddy. I'll tell you what. Now, what kind of toast are you using? Do you use the white toast, the wheat toast, the rye? Do you have a preference? What are you doing there, Marie?
My preference is always to use white toast.
However,
I've been told that if I ever wanted to do, because I do large portraits, large pictures that are sometimes 9 meters high in toast, but I always use white. But when somebody said to me, hey, look, you should do this guy, and this guy had a lot of acne on his, you know, that kind of rugged face. So I thought I might use a multigrain for that one.
Yeah, great story. I tell you what, you ever done George Bush?
I haven't considered doing George Bush, but I have considered.
Do you hate America?
I'm considered doing a president. Somebody with a bit of stature. You know, I really like what Lincoln stood for and how he emancipated the black community in this.
Great story. So you were in FHM magazine, is that correct?
Yes, I've been in Stuff magazine in the States. Too.
Wow. That's good stuff in a Stuff magazine, eh?
Yeah, I'm coming up on Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Ripley's Believe It or Not. You've got to be kidding me. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a prime TV star on our hands on this show here. You don't get no shortchange of the Charming Dick. This ain't the Dynamite Show, if you know what I'm saying. Hey, Maurice, so when are you going to be on Ripley's?
I don't know. They filmed me It must be coming up soon.
Oh, it must be coming up soon. Well, I'll tell you what. You let me know. I'll let all my fans here know. We'll all watch. I guarantee it. Now, tell me, what's the last thing you made out of toast, Maurice?
I just made a gentleman called Michael Jackson, but not the
Michael
Jackson. Not the Michael Jackson. You guys know. Another Michael Jackson. He's a famous beer critic. He's a famous
You are a card.
That's all the time we have for the Dick Charming Show. Thanks for joining us, and tune in again next time for Dick Charming on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Hold on, please, guest.
Hold on 1 second,
Marty. Hey, Dick Charming, hold on a second. I'm coming back to you because you're a big winner. Hold on a second. Rob, you want to do the post-interview with that?
See how it went, Rob.
See what he thinks.
Maurice. Yeah. How did it go?
I go, he's funny.
That was fantastic. Yeah. Best we've ever had.
Yeah, well, Dick is very enthusiastic and high energy, and I believe you're going to sell a lot of toast.
What does that mean? I'm sure he'll get a buy then.
Yeah, what's that? Oh, yeah, we'll put it on our website.
Okay. Rob is just holding the phone down by his side. Yeah, but we don't even hear this. This is like, this is not when we're goofing around.
Right.
And I understand you make beer. Okay. That's terrific.
Wheelhouse.
Thanks for your time, and we'll keep you in the Rolodex.
Tom, thanks for being on the Dick Charming Show.
Thanks for being on the Dick Charming Show. We'll call soon. Bye, then.
Bye, then.
Well, here he is, everybody.
Part of the
big winner.
Pete,
yeah.
Pete, you kicked ass.
Pete, you did great.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Pete, you really did
that
great.
That is so funny. Do you not hate America? And I like the phony laugh, too, with a
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where
Pete,
did he learn
here
that?
Here you go, Pete.
Yeah, where did he get that from?
Pete, you won today's iPod, the record-breaking 3 million songs on Apple's iTunes Music Store. Check out what the hype is all about with your Apple iPod. But really, you are so great. Let me also give you a Game Freedom Pass. Go to Blockbuster and get unlimited game rentals for 30 consecutive days. No extended viewing fees. That's from Blockbuster. Pair of tickets to see Journey, REO, Speedwagon, and Styx Wednesday, July 23rd at MCI Center. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster. Plus the Lennox Lewis Prize Pack. Tune into HBO Saturday night at 10 to watch Lennox Lewis against a top-ranked contender, Vital, I'm sure it's Vital, Klitschko.
Wow, that's a tough one.
Wow.
Only on HBO. Hey, Pete, you did great.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Don. Thanks, Mike.
You did really
great job, Pete.
Really great. Thank you. Dick Charming, everybody.
That was great. Who'd have thunk it? I mean, out of the, just off the phone line, bingo.
Yeah, right. And God knows, you and I would have been bored out of our minds doing that interview,
yeah,
right?
It just goes to show you, you know, when there's a choice, don't go with that Northern California call.
We got a break. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Because this ain't about education. It ain't much about winning, and it sure as hell ain't much about basketball. It's about money. Just money. That's what it's about, Ed. And I bought into it. I bought into it big time. I'm a big part of the problem.
The Don and Mike Show. Keep the secret, my precious love. The Don and Mike Show.
It's about the money. It's the best of Don and Mike. It's your old buddy, Rob Spiewak, sitting here playing the tapes for you. Hope you're enjoying it. I know that I am. Just heard Nick Nolte before his arrest talking about money, and this segment talks about money. Don and his son Bart talking about money, and I believe Bart makes one of his rare in-studio appearances to panel, just like the Tonight Show. It's Don and Bart and money on the best of Don and Mike.
So my wife is already at the beach. She's already at her mom's, and I'm going to join her on Saturday because I have the thrill of supervising my son's last ever prom.
Mm-hmm.
And
we all saw him walk out in his grandfather's tuxedo, which was very, very special.
Pop-up tuxedo, nice tribute tuxedo. to my late father-in-law, and Bart looked great in it, and he was off to have a night. And my wife and my son and myself, anybody that has a teenager, you can relate to this, that anytime we ask our kid any question, it appears as if we are trying his patience, and we are the biggest idiots in the world. We can say to him, "Hey, bud, what are you doing?" "Nothing." "Did you go out last night?" "No." "Why didn't you go out?" "Because I didn't feel like it." I mean, really, that's the tone of voice that we get. So, I'm going somewhere with this. Friday night, frankly, he's just driven my wife nuts. So she says, "You're in charge of the prom. Whatever he does, you're in charge of." And I'll say on my son's behalf, because I was very worried about him, like all parents do.
Sure.
He was great. Called me when he left the station. Called me at 11:40 to say that he was actually at the prom downtown. Then called me at 1:40 in the morning, tell me that he had won some money at the school-sponsored after party.
Mm-hmm.
And then he called me at 6 a.m. to say...
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, just what you said. He called you to say that he had won some money at the school-sponsored after party.
Well, they had
what,
like...
What, did they had a crap game? What was
it was like roulette and stuff.
Oh, yeah. It was a casino night.
And it was also, I think, like a drawing. You know,
oh, okay.
Like a
right.
Ticket stub thing.
All right.
So then he called me at 6 o'clock to say... That, first off, he wasn't drunk, and that it would do him no good to sleep for a couple of hours at his friend's house and just come home, that he was just going to come home.
Mm-hmm.
So I was feeling pretty good about this, and then I got to the beach, and I saw my wife, and my wife started saying, about the stuff, like the way my son, who I know loves his mom, like all teenage kids, the way that he talks to her and the way that he talks to me. And then Rob and Carrie were house-sitting for us because my wife and I just wanted to get away. We wanted to be at the beach. And I got a call from Carrie, or I called Carrie, whatever it is, on Saturday.
Whatever.
And she says, I cannot believe how wonderful your son is.
Hmm.
And I go, really? And she says, he complimented me today, this is Rob's wife, he complimented me today on my hairstyle. That I just got my hair done, and he complimented me on my hairstyle.
Hmm.
I'm driving down the road with my wife, and I say, is this the same kid? Is this really the same kid?
Mm-hmm.
Then we go, ah, no, yeah, it's just the way that he is. And we talked to my brother-in-law, and he said his son was the exact same way, that, you know. And I was this way. Frieda was, everybody's, the parents, the enemy. Everybody else is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I get the report that Rob, you know, is downstairs having 10 beers and watching Rambo with Bart, which I never do. I hate Rambo.
Right.
But they're watching Rambo, and they're having the time of their lives. And then Carrie calls yesterday, and she says, I just want to tell you, you have the sweetest, most wonderful son. He's at the Montgomery County Fair, and he called to make sure that we were going to be up tonight because he won stuffed animals for Julia and Robert.
That's nice.
Those are Rob's kids.
Right.
And here's the question that I would ask my son, and all parents want to ask. How come you're so nice to everybody except the two people that do every goddamn thing in the world for you?
Wow.
Anyway.
That's a normal question.
Yeah, I know it is, Buzz, it's got nothing to do with the fact that...
I certainly don't think you're alone as a parent of a teenager asking that question.
But, you know, it was just... Hearing Carrie say, your son is so wonderful and so thoughtful.
But that's better than having the kid that is mean to you and mean to all other adults.
Yeah. And I agree. And also I want to say I appreciate the fact that he's conscientious enough to call me and let me know what he's doing and
right.
the problem. Now, on the other hand, I'm not thrilled about the part that he's so lazy he doesn't have a job. And the deal is, if you don't have a job, you don't get money. But he also remembers every promise that I ever made him. And as far as he can remember, the only promise that I have ever broken in his entire life was once when we were on vacation somewhere when he was 7 years old. There was an NBA video game that he wanted to play, and I said, I promise we'll play it tomorrow, and we didn't play it.
Mm.
That is the only promise that my son can tell you. He's 18.
And he remembers it from when he was 7?
Yeah. He still says...
It's food for thought. Yeah.
He still says sometimes, when I say, I've never broken a promise to you, he says, oh, yes, you did. Don't you remember that time in Myrtle Beach? You didn't play the game with me.
It's on file.
So, around Christmas time, I had said to him, because I got this thing, about, I got an Xbox, and I only have it for the NFL game. And he likes coming in and playing the other games, because Microsoft gives us free games all the time. It's a nice perk. And I don't like him in my room with the plasma TV and all that stuff. So I said to him, tell you what, for Christmas, I'll just buy you an Xbox. I'll buy another Xbox for Christmas, and we'll put it downstairs. He just walked by the window. I forgot he's here today.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll buy you an Xbox, and I'll put it downstairs. He said, no, you know what, I really don't want it. I said, okay. Then I tell you what, you've got $200 on a gift certificate with me. Whenever you really get in a bind, I'll give you $200. So we had a prom 2 weeks ago, and he said, hey, Dad, you remember that Xbox promise? And I went, yeah. He said, can I have $100 of that money now to take my girlfriend out to dinner?
Right.
So I said, sure. That was for her prom. Now, his prom is this weekend. So, of course, on Friday, he said, Dad, do you remember your Xbox promise?
Right.
And I said, yes, I do. And I gave him another $100 to take his girlfriend out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not until Sunday when I'm on the phone discussing with him the great time that he had at his prom on Saturday night. I said, where'd you go out to dinner? And he said, we went to a friend's house. And I said, well, wait a minute, hold on a second. I gave you $100. He said, Yeah, but I got to use some of that money to send flowers to the friend's mom that made dinner. I said, wait. Why did I give you the $100? I gave you the $100 for dinner. And he said, well, I know I told you. And I said, well, I don't think, no, come on in here. If you think I'm wrong, come in here. Now, I have the luxury of him being here today. And we got to keep this brief, though, because I did not plan for this segment to go like this. But he's here. Anyway, howdy, bud. Hi.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Point Counterpoint.
Hi there.
Hi.
Would you like to, what have I gotten wrong about this discussion? Anything?
I couldn't hear because the delay changes, but I don't think anything.
Okay, here's what I was just saying. Well, first I want to say, and you know I've mentioned this.
So he's agreeing with you, so that I've got it all wrong. This is not Point Counterpoint. He agrees with you.
No, that he's a wonderful kid, and I love the fact that you called me all the time on prom night.
Well, let me get a few things straight. But that says I basically stole $100 from him.
No, I'm not saying you stole.
But I misled you, you're saying.
Yes.
I didn't know until that night I was going there, or the day before. And also...
Hold on, if you didn't know until the day before, why on Friday morning did you come in my office?
Because there was still a chance, and I still need money. And I still need money to get a corsage.
I had a post-it note out where I'd written myself a note, get $100 for Bard from ATF.
Pop. Would you rather I have asked for 40 for corsage and say I still have 60 on credit with you?
Yeah, because I got the feeling you're BSing me because...
How am I BSing you if I'm going to get the money in a week from now or today?
Because you told me you needed the $100 to go out to dinner, which was the credit from the Xbox and the promise.
Yeah, as an observer, can I just bring up as sort of an arbiter here because I'm listening to both sides?
Yeah.
When you made the deal about the Xbox... That when he needed the money, he'd get
$200.
$200.
Because it wasn't a Christmas present then.
But basically, it would be determined on need, or would it be determined on, you know, if he just said he needed the money?
Well,
how did that work?
Defines the need because I showed.
That's my question.
I said on gift certificate, and here's the only thing: I don't even mind that I gave you the $100. I mind the fact that I gave it to you. And you never said to me, oh, incidentally, I'm going to dinner at Kyle's house.
What do you care? What does it matter?
Okay, here's what it matters. It's money that I'm giving you.
Right.
That incidentally, Mom busts my balls about.
But
you know, Mom's got that whole thing about don't give him a dime unless he works for
it. But
him.
I'm just saying that what's the difference if you give it to me on Friday and I don't use it, or you give it to me on Monday and I go out to the movies.
Okay. Also, Mom busts my balls about this. You owe us money already. You still owe us money.
Yeah.
You owe Mom and I money. Mom says to me, why are you giving him money when he owes us money? I say, listen, it's like, you know, I can't break a promise to him. And the only promise I ever broke was,
right.
That's the only promise I've ever broken my whole life to my son.
That's a pretty damn good track record.
Whenever I tell him we're going to do something,
not
we do
perfect.
It.
Perfect.
Wow.
Hey, but that's all teenager. That's normal what he says.
So anyway,
I think you're both right to a certain extent. I think that, you know, Bart, you know, you made a deal that he gets that $100 when he needs it. It's his call as to when he needs it. I also think that to a certain extent, him coming to you and saying, I need this for dinner, is somewhat false pretense.
Here's the only thing that flew up my
mind. Let me tell you something. When you take, I can look at both of these guys, because it's a hello chip, hello block, you know. And
right.
I will tell you right now, when you do that, when you take both sides with these two guys, there's nobody who's going to win.
Let me just say one thing.
Wait. Go ahead. I don't think that I would have been able to go to dinner on that money. Only because I still...
Why?
I had a little bit from last week, but it would have been harder only because I had to spend 40 on a corsage, and then I had to spend 25 on parking.
Here's the only thing. Here's all I needed from you, and I would have been cool with it. You just would have said to me when I asked you how the prom went...
It's too late now. How can I fix it?
But just for future reference, when I'd asked you how the prom went, all I would need, and I would never have even... And it's not that I'm even pissed. It was just... I just feel bad. We would just said, oh, incidentally, that $100 you gave me, I didn't have to use it on dinner because I
would have said that, but I didn't think you cared. I told you where I went for dinner. It's not like
You told me where you went for dinner after the fact.
But you just said you would have felt better if after the fact I said, I'm sorry. I didn't know I had to say I'm sorry.
No, before the fact. Even before the fact. Because if you knew on Thursday or Friday, then why did you come in and have me write on that post-it note?
Because I knew I'd still need money.
Anyway. And why are you so nice to other people?
Sorry. I'll start being mean to everyone.
No. Don't be mean to everybody. Just be nicer to Mom and I.
I try and you say I'm faking it.
Oh, no.
I fake it with many people.
With Mom? Now that's a separate deal with Mom.
No, because... not with Rob and Carrie, because they're my true friends, but...
Right, because they don't ever tell you what to do and they don't, you know... ask you what time you're coming in and do all the parents stuff.
From what I've heard about Rob, in your house, Rob's usually in a pretty good mood when he's in your house.
He is.
Very agreeable.
Very agreeable.
Rob is very... Whatever.
You know I'm just busting your balls.
Yeah.
That's all. I'm just busting your balls. Yeah. I'm just saying that in the big scheme, and I said the first part was the true part, that, and I told you this also in private, and I'll say it on the radio too. I'm proud to have a son who tells me he's going to go to his prom and he's not going to get bombed, that he doesn't, that called me to tell me he arrived at the prom, called me to tell me that he won this money in the middle of the night, which I was cool with, mm-hmm. Then called me at 6 a.m. to say, hey, I'm not drunk, and I'm going to come home now rather than sleep with my friends. Didn't I tell you how proud I was of you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really am. But it doesn't mean that I can't think I'm being played a little bit on this money thing.
I don't think you're getting played at all.
No. Anyway, so that was that. And then, you know, you got the whole thing with, you know, the teenager, just general teenager behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Just that he's so nice to other people. Yet, and even I've said to you on occasion, why every time I ask you a simple question like, where are you going or... what are you doing or what are your plans today?
Because it's never a simple question.
Your tone is always as if I've asked you, how do you think we're going to find peace in Iraq? Your tone is always...
It's never a simple question. So what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to go play Papa. Where? When? With who?
Okay, hello, called being a parent.
I know, I understand that, but you just say it like it's a simple question.
Well, it is a simple question.
No, it's like 20 simple questions.
Where are you going?
Putt-putt.
Okay, you go to Pennsylvania to play putt-putt. I just want
to... Oh, yeah, because I'm going to just hop in the car and go to Pennsylvania to play putt-putt.
How many times have you told me you're 18?
Many times.
Okay.
How many times have I ever gone to a road trip on Pennsylvania and forgot to mention it?
Never. Of which I give you credit for. But it doesn't mean that I'm still not going to want to ask these questions. And that Mom's not going to want to ask these questions.
Right, but what does it matter?
It matters because we love you, and you are our son.
But I still don't understand why you have to know exactly where I'm going to be.
And I give you, God damn it, Bart, I give you leeway. You know I do.
I know.
Now, how many times I told you, really, is there a dad you know that's who cares, who's more hands-off than I am? Really? Who cares? You have to.
I don't know if they care.
Okay. Right. Like that one dad we were talking about, I'm not going to say any names. I won't, I promise.
Okay, you give me the but.
Yeah, okay.
I would not be like that dad. I wouldn't.
You disappoint.
Pardon me?
You disappoint me.
Because I said that?
Because you won't be like him.
Because I won't be like that dad. Well, I'm sorry, I won't. I'm going to be the way that I am. And I think that's the reason
thank
you are.
Later.
Yeah. I could make you cry with a simple comment, but I'll stay away.
You'll thank him later.
Go ahead. Go ahead, what?
You should try to make our times happier together. I'm only going to be here for 3 months. Less than that. it's only going to be holidays.
That sounds normal to me.
In fact, even if I come back then.
That's something you're hearing from me, too. Haven't I said that to you as well? You're only going to be in this house for 3 more months.
And do you know how I respond every time?
You say, yes, I know. I'm only going to be here for 3 more months.
No.
You keep saying it to me over and over again.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you do.
Honestly, I say, yes, I am.
Yeah, I know. So I said, for the next 3 months, just cut me, and not even me so much, just cut Mom some slack.
Okay.
Just cut Mom some slack.
Go ahead and make my 2 months trying. See how often I come back.
Man.
Now he's doing shtick.
Of course, man. But he does this off the air, too.
I know.
Anyway.
He's a good kid. That's what
he's a great kid. He's beyond a great kid. He just got his nice little scam deals going. Then he got his $100 for me, and then he won 200 more bucks, and it's just more reason that he's not going to have to go get a job this summer.
I can, but I can't when I have this, and then I have graduation.
Yeah.
Then I have Beach Week. After Beach Week, I'm working.
See, there's the priority now. He has to be here to do his senior project.
Right.
Which he couldn't do before.
No. This has been a plan since winter, the Beach Week.
I know Beach Week's important with the seniors. But if your Beach Week is June 7th to June 14th, and you start at Clemson on August 17th, or is it August 7th?
I
think it's the 7th.
I don't know. That's 2 months.
No, it's not even 2 months. It's like 6 weeks. So you're going to get a job for 6 weeks?
Yeah. Okay, I won't get a job for 6 weeks.
There you go.
Problem solved.
That's it. Problem solved.
Is that what you want me to say? Okay, no job at all.
No, you know I want you to get a job. Because you're going to realize when you get down there.
It's been a plan since December to go to Beach Week. So,
and I don't want you not to. You're not going to miss
Beach
Week.
Counting that out of the equation, then, when am I supposed to have been working? I have physical therapy, and I have to be with Jackie in the morning, and then I have this in the afternoon.
Okay, here's the thing. And this is the discussion I have with you all the time. Even with your physical therapy, because you had your shoulder surgery, and because you are doing your senior project here at work, and because you're doing this, he's working out with a personal trainer.
Because of his shoulder.
Mm-hmm. He's doing all of this stuff. Still, you're finding time. God, I really sound like a parent here. But you managed to find time to sit on your ass and watch Punk'd and watch Total Request, whatever it is you watch, and to see your gal pal, Ball and Chain.
If I can get a job where I can work on weeknights from 8 to midnight every night, then I would take it, but I don't think I'm going to find that job.
And see, that's where you're wrong.
There are many franchises around here that would have an opening for that time.
For four hours?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, they
would
just...
Yes, they would. Yes. Do you know, he sat through this lecture how many times? How old was I when I had my first job?
I don't know.
Come on, you know.
13, 12, 10?
12.
5?
Before I got into radio, what did I do before I got into radio? I worked at Burger Chef. And I lied about my age on the employment thing because they wouldn't let you work there when you're 12. And you know why I worked? Because I wanted a bicycle.
You worked... Wait a minute. You worked at Burger Chef when you were...
12.
Wow.
12 years old?
A fact.
And I lied on the sheet and said I was 15.
Wow.
Because my dad... Because I wanted a bike and my dad said, you want a bike? You get off your ass and get a job.
Okay, you've said you want... Whatever I do with my money, you get off your ass and get a job. Okay, I might.
He might.
All right. I love you.
Love you too.
Now, can this be true? Do you remember a preschool teacher named Marg or Margaret?
I don't remember any preschool teachers.
Hold on. Let me see. Hello?
Hi, Don?
Yes.
Hi, this is Marg. I was Bart's preschool teacher.
At what school?
Epworth.
Oh, that's true. You did go to Epworth.
I don't know where I went to preschool. No, it's not you, Dad, because from before 6, I'm...
Yeah, no, I know you don't remember. Well, listen, hi, nice to hear from you.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that as a 4-year-old, Bart was a wonderful child, and I'm sure he still is. And he's just a typical teenager.
I know, honey. I know, honey. It doesn't mean I can't be,
be nice to this lady who calls, who remembers that he was both of you. Be and nice to the old lady nice. Who's calling. Come on now.
Come on, Bart. It's not me. I'm not an old lady.
All right, well, sorry. Now I'm calling.
You called her an old lady.
All right, I was trying to help out here.
She was
trying to be Mr.
Helper. Listen, thank you very much, Mark.
Maybe what you say about Bart being nice to, other people, maybe that's not true after all, but at least as a 4-year-old, he was terribly nice.
He's nice.
Very polite.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice?
It is nice.
What do you say,
thank you.
Say thank you.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank
you for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, God. You too.
Jesus. Yeah. Looking at these two together.
Which two?
Both of you.
What, me and
Bart? Daddy and Sonny.
Chip and Block.
All right. Sweet little old lady calls to say he was in here like, who are you?
Okay.
I don't remember. Go away.
All right, I love you. Get out of here. You're only going to be here till when?
I don't know.
Was it Friday? You graduate a week from Friday, so you when are you going to wind up the senior project?
Oh, I don't know.
See?
I think Friday.
See?
I think Friday is my last day.
All right, thank you. What do you got there?
I carted something up, so I brought it in.
All right, well, thank you.
Okay.
From airport. Oh, I think do we have this already?
We do.
We've got it.
Oh, Charlie didn't tell me.
There you go, we've got it. Thank you. We got a break. I love you, son. Get out of here.
I'll tell you, I know your dad feels the same way, Barb, but it's been fun having you around. It has been amusing. It's been really a trip down every emotional lane you can imagine. It really has.
Really got a break. They really effed us on the time, and I apologize, Mike.
Don't apologize to me. You apologize to that preschool teacher.
Her? Yeah. All right, honey.
He was a wonderful boy. Okay.
Thanks for calling. Whatever. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't know. I only know that that's why I have said repeatedly that I want to find out. I want to get to the bottom of this and find out all that has happened. And so far, I've told you all that I know. And you know, the truth of the matter is, for quite some long time, all that you knew was what I told you.
What?
The Don and Mike Show.
Tough guys. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Yeah. It's the best of Don and Mike on a good-looking Tuesday get-together. It's your old buddy Rob Spiewak playing the tapes. Don and Mike come back Monday of next week, and I know you'll join them for that. As part of our company-wide initiative, I want to make this announcement about Infinity Registers America. It's very important with the election coming up. Everyone get out there and register to vote. You got to do it if you want to make a difference. If you want to complain about what's going on in our country, make sure you're registered to vote. And if you're not registered, it's real easy to do. So get yourself registered and vote, vote, vote. Got it? Good. Speaking of politicians, let's move on to the big lie. This is an excellent edition of the big lie. It involves parakeets and Percocet and everything that everybody loves. It's the big lie on the best of Don and Mike.
We're ready for the big lie. Yeah, that was fun.
Is that a tape cartridge that this song is playing on?
No.
Okay. Why? It just sounded funny. It sounded wowy. You know how we used to say wowy with the car?
It's a CD. It's an old CD.
This is one of your worst CDs. We invariably have trouble with the best of the Doobies.
It sounded odd. I don't understand that.
That's a digital hit off Compact Disc.
I thought those things couldn't sound like that. Okay. I mean, I thought they just
look at this. Yeah. This looks like this looks to me like when I went to the dentist the last time.
Oh yeah,
and he did the picture of the inside of my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the back of this CD.
Yeah, that's nasty.
This is like, and this is my personal copy of the Best of the Doobie Brothers, which I bought on CD.
What year? What year did you purchase that?
1989.
Wow.
So this has been since 89. This has been like 14 years.
I just never heard a CD that sounded that bad.
That's why it looks like a topographic map when you turn it over.
All right, guys. Big lie time. Here we go now. The biggest lie, we'll get the trip to Iceland. As always, we go through our phones at 877-365-3636. Find the lie that we consider to be the best.
Uh-huh.
We call the person. You confess. If you're not lying to us, you win the trip to Iceland. Right here, as you enjoy the new sound of Don and Mike.
Yeah, I like that.
Uh-huh. So, guys, on your show, there's some areas that we have to address.
Please, sit down.
Have a seat.
Enjoy yourself. Would you like a cold beverage?
You can certainly be in bad taste. You cannot be indecent.
Indecent. Mm-hmm. Yes. Legalese. Legalese. Legalese!
I've noticed that you're all wearing ties, yet I, Sidney Pollack, am not.
Excuse me. Who are you talking about?
tie.
Oh, Mike wasn't wearing a tie, but you had a jacket on.
I was very proud.
You had a jacket
on. Since you bring it up, I was very proud of the fact that I kind of matched the look of one other individual.
Joe didn't wear a tie either.
Joe didn't wear a tie.
But you wore that, right? You wore that, that blouse?
No. I had a suit and a dress shirt.
Is that a dickie?
No, it's a t-shirt.
Where did you
gave me this.
Did you?
I gave you that.
I did?
Yeah.
Mike, where'd you get that for? My dress bar? Did I get you that?
Yes. Hold on.
I was there when Mike bought that for you. He bought that for you at TJ Maxx.
No, the Limited.
They're having a sale.
I got that at the Limited for you right there.
So, I bought that for you?
T-shirt, yeah.
Where did I buy it?
Where did you have RJ buy it?
I didn't buy it. RJ bought it.
Yeah. All right, now I understand. I think it's very nice.
Thank
it's
you.
A very nice color.
T-shirt.
One of the attorneys that we were dealing with today who's asked us not to speak about him has been nicknamed Sidney Pollack. And he had just a regular shirt on.
Yeah. Oh, not just a regular shirt.
Yeah,
that was a fine garment.
A shirt with no collar on it.
Yeah, but a high thread count.
And
he had a shirt with a collar on it.
We also, but it wasn't.
It wasn't buttoned.
It was like a t-shirt collar.
It was a button-down, very expensive shirt. I noticed. I specifically noticed the shirt.
I don't think it was buttoned down.
It was a button-down. It had the buttons right here.
Was it really?
It was undone to about here.
All right. Well, then I take it back.
Designer label.
Either way, he was casual.
Mm-hmm.
He was casual.
Business casual.
We were more dressed for work than he was.
Mm-hmm.
Today, the meeting.
I'm going to dress like this every day.
The meeting with the lawyer. Wear a suit.
I'm
going to
start wearing suits with just a shirt undone.
Very professional.
You think you like that?
Yeah, it is.
It's a good look.
Well, you see what I come in tomorrow? I'm going to come in. I'm going to come in like in spandex.
Guys, it's nice to meet you. Have a seat, please.
You
notice that the meeting didn't. So we were all there.
Mm-hmm.
He was fashionably late,
of course,
because it's his meeting.
Of course,
it's his guy.
It's wonderful.
I think he dressed down for the DJs.
Oh, yeah,
probably.
Yes, that's what I think. Absolutely he did.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Maybe.
Because I went down to see my guy down the street, and they've got, that's the trendy thing down there now. They're all doing the kind of business casual thing.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want to know what this guy is like, really, rent the movie Changing Lanes with Ben Affleck. I'm serious. Go to Blockbuster and rent it tonight.
Very good.
And look at Sidney Pollack, and that's the guy that Mike and I were with all day today.
Pollack, I got that image in my head. Yeah.
Here is Clayton from Salt Lake, ready to play The Big Lie. Clayton.
Hey, Don and Mike, Radio God.
Now, you wouldn't be lying. It's calling us all the way from Salt Lake City on a day that we've had to have this meeting with the lawyers.
No, but I have to tell you, no matter what you guys do, you're always going to be indecent in Salt Lake.
Ah, thank you. That's very kind of you.
Thank you. Clayton, what is the lie that you have that somebody doesn't know about?
All right. Well, this is about 6 or 7 years ago. I was living with my mom. Since it's a decent show, let's just say I ran up a $1,300 phone bill calling 900 numbers.
Yeah, you can say that, calling sex lines.
Right. Yeah, it's let's just call it psychic hotlines then. How's that?
$1,300?
How old 13, were you?
17 or 18.
And how is it that your mom doesn't know that you called sex lines?
Well, we had a bunch of friends over all the time, and she was never home, so it was kind of a party house, and I just kind of blamed it on a friend of mine or said, I don't know who did it, but...
Well, wait a minute. Is your mom that tough on you anyway if you had a party house?
Well, she's not that tough, but it's $1,300.
Yeah, but she paid it, right?
What did you tell her?
I told her I didn't know who did it, and then we kind of talked about it, and I said, well, maybe this other guy did it. He was there that night.
All right.
$1,300.
Take care, spoiled little Clayton.
Not that I know anything about this, but it would seem to me for $1,300,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. While you could get something, now the word's coming to me, I'm not really sure. I remember. I've heard so many other people say it. It's something called an out-call service. You could actually, rather than spend $1,300 on the telephone, you could spend considerably less and have a real-life young person...
Yeah, probably one time.
...come to visit you.
But the thing is, he obviously did it like for a very, very long period of time, every day.
But do give our best to your exceptionally bright mother.
Yeah, well, no, I think lenient, Rob. I think lenient, obviously.
Lenient bright.
Little Clayton. It was one of my other friends.
Don and Mike, hello. Big Lie. Glenn.
Yes.
Hi, Glenn.
How are you doing?
We're doing great.
All right. A little nervous about telling this one.
That's all right, Glenn. Tell us your lie. It just happened.
This weekend, we went up, us and a bunch of friends. I went up with my wife, Mayu, to Atlantic City. And, we said beforehand, $200 is the set limit.
Can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
And just say, Glenn, I kind of think I might know where this lie is going. It might not be the greatest lie, but I'm totally with you. I don't think there's a guy in the world that doesn't lie about gambling.
How much did you lose, and how much did you tell your wife you lost?
Well, unfortunately, I lost $1,400.
How much did you tell her you lost?
I told her I lost the limit, which was $200.
Oh. I've been right in that range too. Wow.
Hold on a second.
It's a lot of fun.
So hold on. The money that
how'd you cover it?
The pay. That's exactly my question. How did you pay?
Well, we have separate bank accounts. But. She has access to my account because she does all the accounting and financing and stuff. So at some point,
well, how did you tap it though?
That is a 700%
yeah
discrepancy.
How did you tap the money? How did you get it?
Went up with I don't know $700 because we were going up with friends. We were going to be going out to dinner, and I thought I'd be paying, you know, a lot out.
Sorry.
Yeah, you know,
he lost me there. Yeah, absolutely.
Too confusing.
You bring $200 for your whole nut, and then that's it. You know, you don't bring $700, you know, because we're going to go, that's some expensive dinner.
Hello, Jim, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, hey. We're playing the big lie. What's your big lie?
I've been married to my wife for 2 years, and she believed that my mom died when I was eighteen.
Yeah.
And she actually had a mental breakdown, and she's not in an actual mental institution, but she's in like a convalescent home down in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Now, why wouldn't you just tell your wife that your mom was in a loony bin, retirement bin?
It's embarrassing.
It wasn't embarrassing last night for Miranda on Sexton City when she went and found Ben Stiller's mom in the street and then brought her in and gave her a bath, which incidentally wasn't sensual in any
regard. No.
I'm gonna get to the bottom of this because you're saying you didn't share this, but you're gonna share it now, and is because of the prize you just figured this is something you should have told her anyway?
Well, the 16th was my mom's birthday, and I was gonna tell my wife on the 16th, and I chickened out.
Hey, but dude, why would you chicken out? Why would you tell her that? Why would you tell your wife that your mom's dead?
I guess if he was so embarrassed at his mom.
It's not just my wife. Almost all my friends think the same thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, you're just so embarrassed that this went down with your mom?
Yeah. I don't even go down there. My great uncle, my grandfather, myself.
I don't know, but I just reminded, again, Mike, you should have seen Sex and the City. Because you know what else Ann Mara did?
I swear to you, I don't watch Sex and the City. I don't even have HBO.
Okay, hold on, Jimmy. Pizza? Yeah. She pulled the Jim Elliot.
Oh, really? Like going through the garbage?
She ate pizza out of the garbage.
Yeah.
When Miranda,
she's not crazy like that.
When Miranda found
not
out.
Homeless,
the
why, Jim, let me ask you, though. I completely understand that maybe you were embarrassed. Why now? The prize?
Well, since I was going to tell her anyway on the 16th, and I chickened out, and yeah, the prize, and I got to tell her sometime.
Another chance.
So she thinks your mom is dead, your mom is right. Now, what
it's
kind
not
of...
not dead, she's in a loony bin.
Yeah, what kind of a facility is your mom in?
It's kind of like you would go into if you were old, but not everybody there is old. They have Alzheimer's patients.
Is she kind of functionless? Does she have trouble functioning in society?
Yeah, she couldn't pay bills or live.
Oh, you!
She couldn't what? I'm sorry?
She couldn't have a job or anything like
or
that.
Or make meals for herself?
She could probably do that.
Yeah,
she could.
And what is the nature of her illness?
Well, if you want to get even worse into it, I had an older brother that died of cancer, and then when this happened, you know, she dealt with his, you know, all the chemo and all that stuff with him, and that just kind of sent her over the edge.
Yeah, that's horrible.
So is your mom in a place where they chase after her with like big butterfly nets, or can she come and go as she likes?
I don't know. I haven't been down there since I was 22.
Son of the year.
Now I don't feel sorry for you anymore.
How old are you?
I'm 31.
So obviously, why haven't you supported your mom? I mean, or helped your mom?
Well, I support her monetarily, and I talk to her on the phone, and I send her calls.
It's just too painful for you when you see her, or what?
It was when I was 22, but now that I have a wife, I might go down there with her.
Hi, son. I sure do miss you.
I think she's mentally ill.
Bad.
I don't think she's retarded, though.
Well, I don't have a mentally ill voice. I'm sorry, my retard voice is... And
you have a mentally ill voice soon?
You know, to me, mentally ill is the cousin of retarded.
Well, right? I mean, you might be right about
it. I mean, you're in the same ballpark.
Yeah, you might have a hell of a point there.
Mentally ill is just a nice way of saying retarded.
Well, she wasn't born that way. She just kind of snapped.
She snapped.
Okay, yeah. hold on a second, please.
All right. So Jim's lie would be his mother's not dead. She's mentally ill.
She's retarded.
And to clarify your point of view, I don't think his mother is trainable.
Right.
You might be wrong about that. She could be trainable. Cook? He said she could cook.
Don and Mike, hello.
That's what he said.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike. Could she cook? Hello.
Yeah, this is Rob.
Hey, don't take that the wrong way. I heard that laugh, boy. Hello. Yes, Rob.
Yeah. My lie is when I was like 10 or 11, me and my friend were latchkey kids.
Nope. Trouble.
Hi, Don and Mike show. Just a judgment call.
I believe from his third word, he was lying.
Don and Mike, hello. Big lie.
Speak to us.
Oh, all right, let's go to Jerry.
Hello?
Jerry, what's your big lie?
Yeah, my brother and I used to live together, and he used to have a pet canary. And it was so annoying that I actually killed it with a Percocet. I had back problems. And what happened was...
Joe.
Joe Iringer.
Hello?
You killed it with a Percocet?
Joe Iringer. And the worst part about it, it was his daughter's bird, which is my niece.
Joe Iringer.
How did you kill the bird with a Percocet?
Well, I had a whole bunch of Percocets because I was having back surgery. And
why did you kill the bird?
The damn thing wouldn't shut up.
So what did you tell him when he came home?
Okay, one time the bird got his neck caught in the cage, and when my brother came home, it almost died doing that. So when he came home, I actually set it by the cage with his neck in between the two...
You prompted in there.
How did you know? I would never know that if you gave a bird, a cockatoo or whatever type bird this is, give any bird, a Percocet, it would OD.
I would just think that they would fly slower.
Well, no, that's what I thought. But
see better colors.
I crushed the Percocet up real fine into his water, and the damn thing just died. And his daughter...
He told the canary it was a vitamin.
And I felt so bad because she's my niece, but she was so upset.
So you killed, what was the bird's name?
Golden.
You killed a kid's pet.
Well, I mean, it was my niece's bird. But
yeah,
it
exactly.
Was a kid. Was she a kid?
Yeah, she's only 10 years old at the time.
Oh, my God.
A 10-year-old's beloved
you killed,
pet.
You killed her bird with Percocet.
This was 3 years ago.
So now she's 11. So now
I'm writing down his lies. Yeah. He killed a kid's bird with Percocet.
3 years ago, so she should be 13.
But she lives in Indiana.
Well,
so
I don't want to call her. But
we can't call her, but...
Well, we wouldn't call her.
But my brother...
You can call your brother, who is her father.
That's correct.
You're going to be in trouble.
I think we got a guy. I think we got a guy here.
I do. I think this is a big lie.
The canary killer.
I think really, I mean, if the father has any,
Hey, we're real close brothers, so he forgive me.
Yeah, okay, we'll find out.
He didn't like the bird anyway. He just had it because his daughter kept crying about it.
I can't feel my beak. Hold on a second. We'll go back. Okay, we've got...
My beak is numb.
We've got this guy. We've got the guy who...
Jim. We've got Jerry who killed a kid's bird with Percocet. And we've got Jim who told his wife that his mom was dead when she's really mentally ill.
Also,
in an institution.
In case those don't work out, standing by for action... Steve, who flooded his basement, Doug, scalped tickets and gave them to his family. I don't get that one. Dawn slept with some guy before the wedding. Just let me very briefly talk to Dawn. Let's see. Hey, Dawn?
Hey, yeah.
Darling, hi. I'm sorry. Maybe you didn't hear the memo. No whores allowed on the show anymore.
Oh,
sorry.
Dawn, go away. You're no good for us.
Bye-bye. And a guy who says he damaged car, wife thinks she did it. We get that one all the time. I like the one with the Percocet.
You have it. It's impossible to top that one.
We'll make the call when we come right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Thank you from the heart of my bottom for listening to this frequency wherever you are.
the Don and Mike Show. Like corn, enjoy it a second time. Second time, the best of Don and Mike.
Though I am often mistaken for Jamiroquai, it is Rob Spiewak here playing the tapes on the best of Don and Mike. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. Good stuff yet to come, like Phoner with Rose Marie. Remember her from the Dick Van Dyke Show?
Yes.
And the first edition of Tobacco Road. But before that, let's finish up the big lie with the parakeet and the Percocet and digging it. It's the best with Don and Mike.
Okay, we got a last-minute qualifier here for the big lie.
Oh, good.
Okay. Just one more that I want you to hear.
Very good.
Before we call the guy who killed his brother's bird with Percodan.
Percocet.
Percocet.
It's Jerry.
Bill.
Jerry.
On the Don and Mike Show. Bill.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Bill, now this is the last person to even get a shot here with everybody.
Okay.
What is the big lie?
The big lie is that when I was about 13 years old, I did own my own .22 rifle, but my buddy came over, and I stole my dad's revolver, .22 revolver, to go squirrel hunting. I ended up playing a little Russian roulette with that gun and shot myself in the toe.
Right.
The lie was that I told my parents I stepped on a rusty nail. They took me to the hospital. The doctor took an x-ray and saw that it was a perfect gunshot wound right through my toe next to my big toe.
That's what he found out when he took an x-ray?
That's right. I got an x-ray.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And so the doctor told my mom.
What's wrong, man? Did you ever get an x-ray?
Yeah, I got an x-ray before.
So it went clean through, the bullet passed clean through your toe?
It was a clean bullet wound through my bone of my toe.
You got to get some good stuff for that.
And the doctor didn't tell your mom or dad?
Yes, he did. Yes, the doctor said it was a clean bullet wound. My mom then came out and confronted me. I told her that I had a hunting accident with my rifle, but I never told them that I stole my dad's
rifle, handgun,
too much.
Never whatever.
Mind. All right, let's go back to the guy who killed his brother's bird.
Yeah. That's Jerry who killed his brother's bird
with
a Percocet.
And the other lie is they never found the body of the friend he went hunting with.
Yeah, after the bullet passed through his toe, killing his friend.
Hey, Robbie, did they ever bring that number in here?
Yeah, I've got it.
Oh, thank you. Let's see. Oh, call him up then.
Okay.
Let's see. Jerry, now the story is you killed the bird's name again was?
Golden.
Golden, and it was the bird that belonged to your niece.
Yeah.
You killed the bird because?
The bird was very
annoying. And at the time, my back was bothering me really bad, and that's the last thing I needed.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up having back surgery.
You know, Jerry, I would just like to share this with you. If we killed everything we found annoying, there would be no salespeople in this building.
I was just going to say, I almost had the same situation with my wonderful wife this week.
She annoyed you a little bit? Well,
yeah.
if you're Jerry here,
but I had
she's not coming to work today.
Yeah. But I had no Percocet to kill her with. Or wait, is it Percocet or
Percocet? And I will tell Jerry that even though I'm chastising him for killing something that just annoyed him,
mm-hmm.
It probably wasn't that bad a way for the bird to go
quietly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure.
The bird probably drifted off.
You go out like Big E.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny is on the phone now. Now Johnny is your brother, right, Jerry?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see if. These guys are on the... And Robbie's given his permission.
Yeah, he's ready to go.
He's ready to go? All right, here you go. On the Don and Mike Show, here is the brother, Johnny.
Hi, Johnny.
Of Jerry. Hey, Johnny.
How you doing?
Hey, it's Johnny and Jerry.
Yeah. Johnny and Jerry here, the brothers.
Johnny and Jerry. let's see. Jerry has something he wants to tell you, Johnny.
All right, Johnny. Jerry has called our show for the... express reason of sharing this with you, and he's going to share that with you right now. Go ahead,
Jerry. It's a tale that took us, and we wanted him to share it with you.
Little confession.
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, what's up?
Listen, remember when we lived in Cat Tail Court?
Yeah.
And whatnot?
You remember Adriana's pet bird, Golden?
X-ray?
Yeah, the one who died broke his neck, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not exactly what happened. Do you remember how I was having back problems?
Yeah.
Well, every time the bird talked, it made my back cringe, and I couldn't stand it anymore. And I had all this Percocet.
Okay.
And one day when you were away at work and I was, home for the whole day, I actually crushed up the pill, Percocet. I put it in this water, and Golden, ate or drank all the Percocet, and... I don't know if it was a guy or a girl, but he or she died. The bird died. And I placed it
strategically to make you think that it broke his neck, because you had told me that before it has got his neck stuck one time.
Yeah, I thought he was trying to get away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I couldn't tell you because I know Adriana was really upset about it, and I knew you'd be upset about it.
I hear that.
You know, my back was killing me, and I just couldn't take it. And I hope you can forgive me.
Well, I think you have to talk to Adriana about that. Ooh. And tell her.
Ooh, boy. We're not going to help you with that one, sir. You're going to have to do that on your own.
Not on our
show. Hopefully she'll never find that out.
Well, I hope she's listening to this, but...
She's too young, but is. You know, I feel bad, but
not with the all-new G-rated Don and Mike show. She could be listening with yeah. parent supervision today.
And boy, are you in trouble if that's the case. Hey, Jerry?
Yeah.
I don't mean to do this, because, I mean, you've told your brother the lie, and that usually wins the game, but I got a nagging question right now.
All right.
Did you do the bird in with the Percocet, or did you... was it a harsher...
Did you crush... Look, I know what Mike wants to say, and it's a question I have, too.
Did you just snap the little bird's neck?
Did you crush it?
No. I crushed.
Are you sure that you weren't on the meds?
And at the time I was. Snapped. At the time I was, because
and you went nuts.
I had some real bad sciatica.
Because I know that's what Rush Limbaugh said, mm-hmm. that he was on the meds and that he was nuts. That's
not himself.
That's why Rush Limbaugh killed some birds.
And you know, I just crushed the pill. I put it in there, and a few hours later, it was dead.
And Johnny, is this news to you? Are you surprised by this?
I got on my nerves too, but I to a bird.
Johnny?
Yeah.
Johnny, is this news to you? Are you surprised by this revelation today?
A bird with kaleidoscope eyes.
I am. Yeah. I'm very surprised.
Yeah.
I am very surprised.
And you don't seem particularly upset with Jerry, Johnny.
Not really.
Are you surprised that Johnny's not upset with you, Jerry?
Well, he's my brother. I love him, and you
what
know.
About your brother Jackie, Jerry, or Johnny?
Say what?
What about your brother Jackie, Jerry, Johnny? And what about your sister Joni, Jerry, Johnny?
Jackie? Brother Jeffrey. Jerry, after the bird died, did you bury it and whatnot?
Jeffy.
I think he just threw the bird away.
What?
He just threw the bird away.
No, I flushed it down the toilet.
Hold on, wait a minute, hold on. Hold on. Now, Johnny, you're the guy who's the dad of the daughter that allegedly had the bird. So the bird is dead. How do you flush a bird down the toilet? Don't you do that deal where you go in the backyard and... Like, put in a coffee can?
Well, it was dead. I mean...
Small. Just remember, they come from the same loins, you know, these two guys.
What kind of
a bird
was it?
You got a bird murderer, and you got a insensitive dad.
What kind of a bird was it?
It was a yellow canary or something like that.
It was a parakeet.
Johnny, how did your daughter take it when she discovered the bird was dead?
She was upset.
Yeah.
She was upset.
Understandably. So Jerry killed the bird, and then Johnny flushed it down the
toilet. She wanted me to buy her another one, so...
Did you flip the bird?
No, I'm not going to buy her another one.
You're not going to buy her another... Why?
Why not? Why not, Johnny?
Well, Jerry might kill it again.
Jerry sounds like Johnny's letting you off the hook.
Well, he's my brother. I mean, you know, he loves me. You know, what am I going to do, you know?
I'm going to tell my daughter about it and see what she does.
Yeah,
that's the only problem that I would have. I mean, I'm down with these guys winning the prize and everything, but...
I feel that the kid's got to get something out of it.
The one guy, yeah. Jerry...
Buy her a nice owl.
Well, no, hold on. I've got something. I've got something for the kid.
Buy her one.
I've got something.
Buy her a falcon.
I've got something. Wait, what's the young girl's name?
Adriana.
Adriana. How old is she?
She's 12.
She's 12?
Yeah.
She's going to love this. What, the 7-Eleven Atkins Diet Prize Pack.
Never too young to start being thin.
Absolutely. I'm sure that she loves controlling carbs with good for you foods mm-hmm. from Atkins, now available at 7-Eleven. That's for little Adriana.
That's good.
Don't put Percocet in it.
No,
that's
please
for,
don't.
That's for her. And let's see, Jerry?
What did Jerry win, Don? I forgot.
Jerry has won a vacation, a trip for two to Iceland. On Iceland Air, the coolest airline crossing the Atlantic with daily flights.
Oh, man,
Europe.
I can't believe it.
Scandinavia.
Yeah, I'm not done with you yet, Jerry.
Hold on, Jerry. Yeah.
Are you joking? What did I win?
You didn't get anything, Johnny.
Hey, Johnny, you're coming with me, man.
Get them here.
You know, Johnny, you don't get anything. Jerry gets the prize.
Well, Jerry just said he's taking Johnny to Iceland.
Don't drink the water. What about Adriana?
She's in school.
Yeah, but Jerry, what are you going to do? I mean, you got to tell, give our listeners some satisfaction.
Isn't that Christopher's girlfriend's name on The Sopranos?
Adriana.
Adriana.
Jerry, what are you going to do, I mean, to make this up to the kid?
Well, I just bought a puppy, and she likes to, you know, babysit the puppy.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, you're a generous guy. You know what's really nice is that Jerry and Johnny will do something that Golden will never do. They're going to fly.
Yeah, that's... Jerry, I think you ought to buy Adriana some kind of present. You're going to Iceland, brother.
Hey, I'll give her anything she wants.
You can buy her a sweater. Trust me, we went there. You can't walk any goddamn store in Iceland without buying a sweater.
It's like with sweaters.
That's all they sell there.
You can get sweaters and you can buy her a little toy wooden Viking.
Dude, they love sweaters.
And lots of beautiful birds in Iceland.
All the Iceland people.
Yes,
they
there
love
are.
Sweaters.
Yeah. I love the bird life in Iceland.
Oh, this is great. Well, not about the bird, but that we won a trip. I won this trip.
There you go. All right. Well, and whatnot, guys. Thank you. God. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for playing the big lie.
Oh, Lordy.
Thank you, Jerry and Johnny.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank Jerry. Hold on a second. Hold on.
The brother's IQ.
See, Johnny, we can let you go. Hey, Johnny, you didn't drink anything from your brother, did you? Or don't drink anything from your brother.
Trust me, I won't.
Okay, be very careful with your brother.
Yeah.
Watch with all preparations of meals, drinks, and everything.
He doesn't like to be annoyed. All right, Johnny, you take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Father of the Year.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Johnny.
They were great. Yeah. And I definitely think at the very least a sweater.
There you go. And Jerry?
Yeah.
There you go. Big winner he is, Jerry.
Congratulations,
that's
Jerry.
That's great.
Jerry, you're now in the history books. Rob just wrote down, back to your brain teasers. Back to your book of Mad Libs. Back to your TV Guide crossword book. Back to your jumble.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, you're the first big prize winner on the all-new clean and decent Don and Mike show.
That's right.
Love it.
Love it. Okay.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks.
Jerry.
Hold on. Dumbass.
Yeah, I'm going to take you, Johnny. Okay, Jerry.
What not?
Yeah. Puppy she can babysit. Soon will be.
Well, the puppy she can babysit. Hey, Adriana.
You know what? I killed your bird, but you can come over and babysit my puppy dog.
Hey, Adriana.
It's a pit bull.
I bet you a dollar the last thing they say before they go to Iceland is, now, Adriana, you stay here. We'll be back Monday.
And don't forget, Adriana, how old was she?
12. 10 at the time.
12. Don't forget now. Curfew 4 a.m., girl.
Yes, siree. And make sure you feed the dog.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger. This scene with the enlargement of the breasts was fantastic because, again, it was one of those things. I mean, in the movie it was used kind of like, okay, if that's what guys would like to see, if this world deals with big breasts, then so be it, I'm going to just have bigger breasts. But in the audience, there was this kind of like immediately you saw women sitting there telling each other, says, oh, that's a great idea, you have to check out where you get that done. So you can deflate and inflate your breasts on command. It's a whole new concept, because there's some guys that like little breasts, and there's some guys that like big breasts, so wouldn't it be nice if you can play both sides, you know, and sometimes even simultaneously.
The Don and Mike Show.
Noted politician Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
And as I said, noted politician Arnold Schwarzenegger. Speaking of politics, have you registered to vote? Yeah, you better. It's important because the presidential election is coming up. And as a company-wide initiative, we here at Infinity Broadcasting, that is, would like to invite all of you to register to a vote. It's called Infinity Registers America. It's a piece of cake to register to vote. All you got to do is go out and sign up, and then you... Come November, you can make a difference. So please do that. Register to vote. Don't take your democracy for granted, all right? It's the reason I hate all those countries in Europe is they don't vote, so we got to vote. All right, enough said. Moving on, Best of Don and Mike Tuesday edition. What do we got here? Oh, yeah, you know that guy, Mark Cuban? He's on the show The Benefactor. Oh, yeah, and he's nuts. He's got all this money, and Don and Mike here discussing Mark Cuban and Kobe Bryant. I think you'll dig it, and it's timely because The Benefactor just appeared last night on, it premiered, I should say, on the American Broadcasting Company locally, all Britain-owned Channel 7, indeed. All right, Mark Cuban, Kobe Bryant on The Best of Don and Mike.
I'm not trying to be controversial or shock jockish. I agree with Mark Cuban. I do. Mark Cuban said some dumb things that I agree with.
Well, no, I don't think there's anything. I frankly, as far as the sad thing is,
this is about Kobe.
I think he's right too, but I think it's. I don't know if that's a good thing.
Well,
you know, that's. I agree with him, but I think it's lousy.
I got to applaud the guy for being so stupid that he's inadvertently just saying the truth. I mean, there's, you know, you run into those type of
people. But by opening his mouth about it, don't you think there'll probably be some kind of backlash?
Well, there's already a backlash against the guy. The guy is the biggest jerk in basketball.
Right.
Mark Cuban. You know, Kobe's got all this stuff going on, and,
right.
and his court trial starts tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
or at least the hearing starts tomorrow. It'll
right.
be on TV. Hopefully we'll be able to listen to it on the show. Mark Cuban was talking with Total Tool Pat O'Brien from Access Hollywood, and he said that the charges filed in Colorado against Kobe Bryant, quote, I'm going to quote Mark Cuban.
Yeah, I'd like to hear, because I have not heard the exact quote.
From a business perspective, it's great for the NBA.
Wow.
It's reality television. People love train wreck TV, and you hate to admit it, but it's the truth. It's the reality today. Notoriety sells in this day and age.
He's right.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of anyone who's going through a legal problem who doesn't get high attention. Is that cold-blooded? Yes, but it's bottom-line reality.
Okay.
He
puts it that way that I understand it more.
I don't want to compare Kobe with OJ because Kobe's case hasn't been decided. But the reality is there is more interest in Kobe now than there was before. He said the intrigue will make Dallas's season opener against the Lakers on October 28th must-see TV. Take away the personal aspect, and the reality is there'll be more people watching this game against the Lakers than there would have been before.
Wow.
Who do you know who won't watch the Lakers' first game with Kobe?
And I would say to Mark Cuban that notoriety, just like fame, is in fact even more so than regular fame, is more fleeting. And I don't doubt that he'll have a spike in the interest, but it also goes away real quick.
Well, but the thing is, this thing with Kobe might not go away real quick.
But if the trial lasts a long time, yeah. But what I'm saying is, once all is said and done, that after that notoriety, you know, you're basically, you know, at the expense of Kobe, or maybe not at the expense of Kobe. It's just a...
What I don't get is why Kobe just doesn't do what Michael Jackson does. Why doesn't he just, like, say to the girl, okay, how much do you want?
Right.
You know, how do you think Michael Jackson really has gotten away with, you know, sleeping with all these kids?
Well, I mean, hasn't it been almost documented that he's paid off some of these parents kids?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you bought a $4 million ring for your wife. You're right, this girl. Whether it was consensual or not, you're going to be screwed either way.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon the pun. You just say, how much?
But do you think that the notoriety factor with Kobe will have legs in the NBA? I think
yes.
I think an initial splash, but I think kind of thing fades away.
The longer it goes on.
Well, I mean, if once it's over.
And the fact that the Lakers have added Karl Malone and Gary Payton and Shaq's toe is okay, and that they're going to be gunning after San Antonio. Yeah, everywhere he goes is going to be a freaking circus.
Mm-hmm.
The longer it lasts, which mm-hmm. is why if I'm advising Kobe, I say, listen, Kobe, okay, your wife didn't leave you. You gave her the $4 million ring. Pay off the girl in Colorado.
Okay.
Make it go away. But Mark Cuban is being criticized.
You're assuming that the girl in Colorado would accept the money. You know, would accept a payoff. I mean, who's to say that hasn't been done behind the scenes already? You know, you don't know that.
Who's to say they haven't offered enough?
Well, but you know, you don't know. I mean, really, you know, if
listen,
I'm not making any assumptions that anybody's guilty, but in the event that it really went down,
you tried out for American Idol. I'm betting you could get her for under $2 million.
But in the event that it really went down, where there was something went on, and then from what I've heard stories that say yes, something happened. I've heard stories that say no, nothing happened. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what the facts are.
If it ends up with
if she was really in that situation and it got out of control and she was thrown down and you know, and he forced himself on her and it got rough and it got brutal, all the money in the world might not make a difference.
But let me say also that who's to say that this girl who has a record of psychological problems
mm-hmm.
didn't have consensual sex with Kobe,
right.
then got one of her friends and, you know, I mean, did like what Madonna did in that video and said, or by herself, and said, let me Let me, you know, do a CSI on myself here.
Yeah, mark yourself up and stuff. Well, any possible, I mean, sure. I'm not saying either one. I think a lot of people feel like I do with this, where you really can't make that determination yet. It's hard to make that determination.
You know, and I'm just saying that this guy, Mark Cuban, is getting some bad press now for saying this.
I mean, Mark Cuban's being absolutely honest.
What he's saying is,
he's not making a judgment call and saying whether it's right or wrong.
I agree. It's good for the NBA. Right now, nobody's thinking about the NBA. Come October, when the season starts, we're going to be caught up in the baseball playoffs, and football's going to be on, and, you know, basketball, it starts in October.
And did he say it's good for the NBA?
Quote, from a business perspective, it's great for the NBA.
It's a little weird. Yeah. It's just a little weird that he puts it that way. Because really, what's he saying? But what's his message to the rest of the league? Hey, guys, listen, you know, we're not getting enough heat on our particular team. Let's go out and commit a felony.
Well, if it happens, roll with it. I mean,
But what about the morality of it, though? I mean, you know.
What's the morality?
It's the morality. What you're saying is it's a great thing to go rape a girl because
you don't know. You don't know that.
But what if it? But the fact is, if he is guilty of rape,
if he did it, he'll be put away for 20 years.
Yeah.
And either way, it's still, as shallow as it sounds,
great for business, but is that good?
In this day and age,
I mean, all I'm saying is that a good thing?
In today's marketplace, I'm sad to say, yes.
Good in what way?
That it would make more people interested in watching the NBA, talking about the NBA.
And with the utmost respect to you and Mr. Cuban on this one, F that.
Well,
if it takes a guy,
Mike,
getting into a rape trial to generate interest,
Mike,
in the league.
Mike, do you watch those car chases when I call you and tell you about them?
Of course.
Okay. Do you you follow love the OJ thing as much as we all do.
You're confusing. I am not disagreeing with what Mark Cuban is saying. I think when Mark Cuban makes that statement, he's absolutely right about saying, yes, it's going to generate interest.
It's great for the NBA.
It's great, but the fact is, I don't think it's that great a thing that it is great for the NBA. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't disagree with him at all.
All right.
He's making a statement of fact, and he's being brutally honest.
I understand what
you're
saying.
I'm just saying it's not a great thing, you
and
know.
And I'd say, in answer to that 20 years ago, what you're saying is exactly true, but the world has changed in the last 20 years, and sad to say that now this happens in all of our sports and with all of our TV stars and movie stars. They go through bad stuff. So, you know, this whole thing in this country, we build these people up, we build them. Look at Ben and J-Lo.
Right.
Goddamn. And we're all sick of them.
Yeah.
But we all bought into all this stuff with them being in love. I mean, Jesus Christ, I watched the Dateline show. I called Robin, said, tape it so we can play it.
Who doesn't slow down and look at an auto wreck when it's on there? I don't disagree with the guy saying, hey, factually, this is going to generate the interest. What bugs me is, you know, I think of, you know, if this really did go down, if the thing was really bad, and this turns out to be a conviction, and he's convicted of rape, that, you know, a crime which, incidentally, is, I mean, I guess in Colorado, the laws say the guy could go
20
for life.
Years.
For life.
Yeah. 20 years of life.
And so, my point is that when you make a statement like this, and I'm almost with Mark Cuban for his honesty, but yet at the same time, I think it's his responsibility as an owner to make some kind of statement within that factual to qualify.
That's why I admire the guy, that I'm sure he knows all that. But if he does all that, then his message gets kind of lost because he's being PC.
What message?
His message, the bottom line is what he's saying. If he says...
He's making a statement of fact. I don't know whether he's sending any kind of message.
He's sending...
not a really good message.
Well, an honest message.
An honest message is not necessarily always good. I mean, you're saying, hey, it's good for business. All right, go out. You know, hey, listen, go out.
Let me just say this. Hold on.
Get into a street fight and cut somebody.
Before you do this, you don't know... And if there had been talk that this girl had been squeaky clean and never been in any kind of trouble, never been a mental patient, never tried out for American Idol, never been in the hospital, never been known to make up stories, I would be more inclined to be on your side. But I'm inclined to think that, yeah, Kobe Bryant banged her, but
But I'm not making any statement whether I think.
Payday.
Do you understand? I'm not saying whether I haven't made my final decision as to what I think of, even with the facts as I have them. I'm not sure whether I believe he's guilty
but
or innocent.
But here's the thing.
What I am sure
it
of.
It is good for the NBA, because, and look at it from this standpoint. Would we be talking about it today in this context? Good or bad, we're talking about the NBA.
It's a really subtle point I'm trying to make here, is that, is this good? Does it generate interest? And from that standpoint, as far as the bottom line, money, interest, fans paying attention,
yeah.
You know,
yes,
is it good
will.
For the NBA? Yeah. Is that good that this is what it takes to generate interest in a league? No, that's not good at all.
And what I'm saying is, and that was my
that's
point.
Not good for, and I'm making that, you know, I think everybody, there's not many people that would disagree that that's not really a very good reflection
and,
on us as a society.
And that's what I said to you 20 years ago, it would have been different. But now...
In what way?
That 20 years ago, we were a different society. 20 years ago, we weren't so much in this car wreck society where...
Right.
So, looking at the way things are done now as opposed to even 20 years ago, you know, or Jesus Christ, 50 years ago, this would have never gotten in the newspaper to begin with. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
And all the stuff with Clinton would have never gotten
in the
newspaper.
It would have been swept under the carpet.
Right. So now we've got it, and I give him credit. I think he's got a really dumb haircut, and he doesn't have the best team in the league, but he has a great locker room.
Well, it's the same line that, you know, now Kobe might get other endorsements because he's got street credibility. That's kind of an offshoot of what Mark Cuban said. It's a similar type of thing that's being said right there.
From a business perspective, it's great for the NBA. But he's right. He's right.
Yeah, right or wrong, it's true.
It's now must-see TV. I bet a lot of people, if it's not decided by October 26th, will watch that first
game. Well, you know, I'm not an NBA fan, and you know, Kobe Bryant is now more of a household name than he ever was before, and that's the way we are. I mean, we love a scandal in this.
And this is part of the problem, too, that the same machine that built him up to be what he is
right
now tears him down, and they built him up unfairly as well, and he went along for the ride, more power to him, but nobody ever really knew what Kobe Bryant's like. Nobody really knows. Like I was saying on the show, nobody knows what you or I are like. God, you know, we are so much more in touch and so more intimate with our audience than a basketball player is. All you know about Kobe Bryant is when you see the commercial where he's walking by and kids are playing basketball,
right.
And he goes, hey, I'd like to play ball with you, and then I'll buy you lunch at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so for all of the people who live in downtown Dumbass, they think that's the real Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
The guy that does the commercial.
Or do they? You know?
No, I mean, they do. Oh, they do.
It's strange. I mean, nobody doubts that we put our athletes and our celebrities on a, you know, on this pedestal, but it's weird. It's strange because we love to tear them down almost as much as we like to have them, you know?
Mark Cuban, more power to you.
Well, now see, that's BS.
That's my opinion.
But more power to you. So what you're saying is like, yay, rah, rah.
I agree with him. It's great for the NBA. That's what I'm saying.
But more power, what do you mean by more power to him?
Keep speaking the truth.
But the truth is not, you know, I think you can speak the truth, and that isn't always the greatest thing in the world to say, you know, hey, fantastic.
I'd rather speak the truth than hide behind what I'm afraid, how I'm afraid it would be taken by other people. You know, like he's getting, trust me, he's getting killed for this all over the country.
I don't think I'm not disagreeing with what he's saying. But the point I'm trying to make is that really he ought to remember that it's the people that he's an owner. He makes money off of all this interest. And there is, I don't care what you say, there is at some point, there's some amount of responsibility that comes with it.
Anyway.
Don't you think?
For him?
For him and for the players.
He's a businessman. The players are businessmen. Listen, I know this. I know that Kobe Bryant wishes his genitals that he never was there that night.
Right, right.
You know, and first off, he's incredibly stupid, even if it was consensual, that he can have sex with any broad he wants.
Right.
You know, and his wife is beautiful. But, you know, you pick a mental case who wants to be on American Idol. That's the one you pick? Okay, so he's dumb in that.
I guess the way I keep thinking about it is when you listen to Mark Cuban say this, is what he's saying going to be construed by certain players as, hey, I'm going to go out and, you know, I've been behaving a certain way, but now if I behave more,
no, I don't.
You know,
think
if I behave more like a thug, then I'm going to be
no, because there's plenty.
I'm going to have more interest. I mean, is that
there's plenty of thugs in all of our sports already?
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
It's just this is an over the top scandal.
Right.
And
in the long run, do you think it'll be great for the NBA? I don't know whether it will.
I don't know, because we are a very forgiving society.
Yeah, I mean, I know that.
Think about when Clinton got in trouble.
Right, right.
You know, and look at him now.
But I'm saying specifically as far as interest, maintaining the interest. Like when this once it fades away.
Here's the thing, like any other sport, because it's a sport, if it's good, if the teams are good,
right,
we forget.
Right.
Now, if all the games are like 2 years ago and it's 85-80, mm-hmm. and they're playing nothing but defense, well then, forget it.
You know what I'm thinking also, this is the last thing I'll say on it. You know what a part of me thinks? Is that if one of my daughters went through something like that, and I heard this son of a bitch make that comment, I want to take his head off.
Well, first off,
that's the way I'd feel. Hey,
first off,
great for business. You know, I'd feel a little pissed off.
Wouldn't you say to your daughter, hey, come here for a second. You know, hey, Sandy Sue, come here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought you were nuts to go on American Idol. You've done all these nutty things. Wouldn't you ask your daughter first? What are you doing going in Kobe Bryant's room?
You know, and then we get back to like who's right and who's wrong on that. As far as I wouldn't know what the circumstances were, but in the event that I believed that, you know, that my daughter really had been violated and it was one of these situations where it really went down the way the prosecutor out in Colorado is alleging it did, I'd be mad at Mark Cuban. I'd be mad at him.
Well, I don't know.
And anybody that's probably been the father of a daughter that's had that happen to her would probably, even if it wasn't the same circumstances, would be kind of pissed off because he somehow lightens it a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. He lightens the heaviness of the whole situation.
It's great for the NBA. What a great quote. What a great quote. You are a great owner.
I'm glad that got through.
Hello, Donna. Listen, your point has gotten through.
Okay.
Everything you've said has gotten through.
Okay, all right.
Wait, I've not turned the microphone off.
I understand that. I understand. But, I mean, if you think on the other side of the coin. I think really it's because I'm the father of two daughters. That's the way I think that way.
Hello, Don and Mike. I don't doubt that.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Joe from The Legacy.
Hi, Joe.
How you doing?
We're doing great.
Yeah, I agree with you, Don. This is like the best thing that could have happened for basketball to get all this attention going and stuff. I mean, all they need now is a slow speed chase, you know, him and his white Escalade, and this would be the best thing going.
All right. See you later. And in a way, you know, and I understand what that guy's saying, but in a way I'm going, what do you care?
Right. Well, because we want to be entertained. Because we want to be entertained.
I don't know if it's that easy.
Just like we want Ben and J-Lo to go out, and then we want their movie to flop.
It's like when you hear a fan, it's great for basketball. It's like, you know, yeah, well, maybe you're right. Maybe we want to be entertained.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Cuban's off his rocker about a lot of things, but I think I definitely have to agree with him on this. And I guess I agree with Don, too, that it's pretty sad because society really focuses on, you know, negative things that happen to our professional athletes. But, In the long run, it really does, you know, boost business and it boosts interest. And I think that's just what he's trying to say.
And if, you know, listen.
I don't disagree with his facts that, yes, it will generate interest, but it just pisses me off that, you know, when he says it's great for the end, that just makes me mad. And is it a rational reaction? No, it's an irrational reaction. When I hear that, it pisses me off. I don't know why it pisses me off, but it does. It's an emotional response.
I think it's because you have daughters.
I think that's probably
it. If it was Kobe Bryant got into a fight with some guy and got in a street fight with some guy,
mm-hmm.
and they said this, I don't think you'd be as emotionally
attached to it. But I also haven't made any determination. As a matter of fact, I probably skew towards the Kobe side as far as if this is a trial. I don't have all the facts yet, but it still makes me mad that he makes that statement. It's irrational, but I want to... Oh, man, it pisses me off.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you guys doing?
Okay.
Actually, Don, I have a question. How would you feel if, say, Mike was accused of rape himself? Do you feel that it would be good for the show?
Hey, that was a legend, okay?
Now, listen, I'll tell you something. You must not be... How long have you been listening to the show?
Since you guys came on to Philly.
Okay. Then you've only been listening about a year. I'll tell you something. It's not rape, but it was pretty awful. And as a matter of fact, it was... 5 years ago today.
Really? Wow.
5 years ago today that I got busted for pot. And it was on the front page of the Washington Post. And it was on the national news. And it was on the lead story on Channel 4, 5, 7, 9, 13, 11, and 2. And as it turns out, it was a great thing for me because it's 5 years now. I haven't smoked any hooch. I'm off that crap. Looking back at it, was it bad for our show? No. No, it wasn't. I'm not endorsing it. I'm not saying you should go out and get yourself arrested.
No, I understand that.
But no, so I can put myself in those shoes. And trust me, at the time, I didn't come in. When I called Mike that day, I didn't call and say, hey, do I have some great news about our show?
No,
I got arrested for having a couple of joints in my car. But I have been through a similar situation. You know, not nothing sexual or anything, but,
right.
You know, I mean, in this day and age, a couple of joints, just as bad.
Right.
No, and the overall, you were up front about it, admitted to what you did, and in the fallout, the long-term fallout of that, there wasn't any.
And the reason is
that at the time, personally, it was probably one of the, if not the toughest thing you've ever gone through personally,
and
that was pretty tough for me, too.
And very hard for my family and for everybody that I work with, but I had to tell everybody individually, all you guys, listen, I'm done with that. I'm never going to party like that again. It's stupid. I had to tell my family that. I had to tell my bosses that. I had to be number one tested.
And you know, as when you make
for a year.
And when you mentioned forgiving, you know, society and stuff like that. I mean, people, we are a forgiving country as far as that is concerned.
Yeah, because everybody, you know, everybody screws up. So even if you know, that's what I'm saying with this Kobe thing. Now, if he did do it, that's awful. That's different than having a couple of joints in your car.
Yeah.
You rape.
It's a slightly different thing.
You rape some girl. But I don't. It's my gut feeling that he didn't.
John, you weren't hurting anybody except yourself.
Anyway, so I have been in those shoes. And I'll tell you, it didn't hurt our show. But I think it didn't hurt our show because that day I came on and said exactly what happened.
Bingo.
And said, I promise you, our listeners who feel somehow let down by.
And then went ahead and followed through on
that. I will never, ever get in that type of trouble again, and I will never smoke pot again.
Yeah, and I think that's what did it.
And
I mean, you know, the fact that you followed through on that.
And you guys don't know the stuff that the company made me do. You know, that for a year I had to be, you know, number one tested whenever they wanted me to. And even to this day, we still have the stuff in my house because I got an open deal with my family. Anytime you want me to take one of those tests, bring them on.
Right.
Because that's the only way that they know everything's okay. And,
but at the time, you know, it was we certainly were experienced the feeding frenzy, especially with our friends at the Washington Post, who I will remember more than anybody else, who just were doing cartwheels.
Oh, I mean,
and, you know, they're not like a tabloid paper.
I was the headline.
Yeah,
I was absolutely the headline. And I'll tell you one other weird thing. I don't know this. I never understood this. That whole year afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why Ken Stevens always wanted to hold the cup.
Yeah, I think you know why.
When I went in, one time he laid on the floor.
No!
Like a carnival.
My eyes are burning.
Like a carnival game. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, you bad bastards.
Yeah, what?
Hey, you know what pisses me off?
What?
Don and Mike. Are you there?
Yes, we're here.
I don't know. I'm sorry, I got a cell phone here. What pisses me off is I'm listening to a 30-minute dissertation on the NBA and Kobe Bryant.
Oh, well, listen, I'm real sorry. You must be calling from downtown dumbass. I'm real sorry that you're not broad enough to listen to what I thought was a pretty engaging discussion about something that an owner of a basketball team
said. If I want an engaging discussion.
If I want an engaging listener, I'll answer.
Thank you. Now
you laugh because you think I'm really angry. And let me prove again, as I tried to yesterday, I'm not really angry.
Like, you couldn't go out to a bar and have a discussion about Kobe Bryant?
Yeah. Let me just
shut your cake hole.
Let me tell you one last thing, and this is not said out of anger. I swear on my son's life this is said truthfully, that you wish that we weren't on because you don't like this talk.
No, I love
you,
the show.
No, you don't.
I
like
love
this,
your show.
You don't like this segment, except this segment.
This segment, yeah, this segment.
You will get your wish. Very soon, you will no longer have to listen to a show in which you don't like every segment of.
And
very soon, you'll get your wish.
Well, how will that be, Don?
Why don't you just stay tuned? Or
should I even give you the date?
Give me the date, Don. Give me the date.
I'm going to leave that one up to Mike.
Well, I think the date might be a little floating towards the end. We have a general idea of what the date is. Where's this caller coming from?
Wichita.
Wichita, Kansas.
Right. Well, hopefully you're not going off the radio in Wichita.
Oh, boy, hey, he's a sharp guy.
There you go. Now, you've just crystallized it.
Now, that I will hate.
Yeah, good. Well, then you'll remember that one of the last things, in fact, probably the last thing you ever got a chance to say to us was negative.
That you didn't like what we were discussing.
Toto?
So all you want is people calling and telling you how much they enjoy segment of
Yes, that's what we want. Is that too much to ask for?
I don't think so.
Is that too much to ask for?
No, probably not.
Is that too much to ask for? An audience full of
boneheads to call in.
An audience full of sycophants, not an audience full of idiots like you, thinking that you know what's good. I want to tell you something. That what we just did was so out of context for us, it was good. But you're trained to think farts are funny, and farts are funny. You know, and
leave it alone. Did you hear what I said?
I heard you.
And for the last time.
I'm listening.
We don't need people calling in telling us that they don't like what we're doing.
That is what slows the show down.
And the response, if you don't like it, change the station, is a valid response. Really, don't waste my time, because your opinion really does not matter to me. But it's a moot point. Because, Toto, I have a feeling we're not going to be on in Kansas anymore very soon.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I just finished a TV, I'm sorry, a feature movie called Cage. It's an action-adventure film dealing with a soldier who gets shot in the head and becomes mentally deficient. That should be out in January. And also a comedy with Sally Kellerman and George Segal. That'll be out in a month.
The Don and Mike Show. Obey them, or they will choke you out. Don and Mike.
I'm obeying them. It is the Best of Don and Mike Tuesday edition. It's your old buddy Rob Spiewak sitting in the studio playing the tapes. And a bit of Don and Mike history right here as we play. Can't seem to talk today. The very first Tobacco Road. That's where they pretend to have those cancer kazoos that they talk through. I think you'll enjoy it. It's pretty funny and... who knows what direction it'll go? It's Tobacco Row on the Best of Don and Mike.
Okay, Rob, turn on the machine.
All right.
Let's see that. We got to press all the buttons now. We think that we've got this worked out
very good.
So I go to
UTL. Hi, how are you, Mike? I'm doing fine. Christmas, don't delay. You gotta do it a little lower like that. I just wanna say that I'm really, ever since I had my voice box removed. Welcome to Cancer Corner. Hey, got any dip? I'm your host, Joseph Campbell. Hi there, I'm Smokey Nicotine. Now we have a couple of different ways we can go with this. This is the sickest thing we've ever done. Smokey Nicotine. I'm Joe Campbell, and happy Tuesday. It's great to have everyone here. Let's find a story from today's news. Talk in monotone and lower. That's the way to do it. You got it, buddy. Very good. I can't help it. Sometimes I feel like laughing.
That's a good voice, though.
Did you? How's that new vacation home next to the nuclear power plant? Are you tweaking it? It sounds better now. It sounds like something we might be able to enjoy. I've been smoking since I was a little boy. How about you? Well, I've always had filters. Who needs filters?
Do you want to try tweaking it a little bit now that you're both in here?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay.
Turn it down a little bit.
Yeah,
a little down. I sound a little more munchkin-y than Mike does. That's true. Turn it down. That's it. Yeah, right there. That's perfect. Hi, everybody.
You're right, I gotta be monotone.
You have to be monotone. Hi, everybody. This is Joseph Campbell. Fantastic. This is great. I just raised by. That's all over the place. What the hell's going on with that thing? Stop. Rob, stop screwing around with
it. Rob, it was great. Well, now it's completely effed.
Rob, leave it at one setting.
All right.
Just leave it at one setting. I'll tell you right now, if we don't get this worked out, this bit is going to be ratings cancer. Speaking of, welcome to Cancer Corner. I'm your host, Joseph Campbell. I'm smoking nicotine. Good to have you with us today. You know who we could call as a return call? Our doctor? No, who? Someone we've recently crank called, though. Excellent. The lady who makes pig brains in Evansville, Indiana. I think that's a good idea. Now, this will be a way to test out the Cancer Corner. Then we'll call the phone sex girls.
What's the name of the show again?
The name of the show is... Well, we can't call it Cancer Corner.
Well, would be Smokey and who?
It's Smokey Nicotine. Joseph,
how about
Smokey Joe's place? Smokey Joe's.
Smokey Joseph.
How about Tobacco Road? We'll call it Tobacco Road. Brought to you... The Tobacco Road Show. Brought to you by Copenhagen. Welcome to Tobacco Road. And Rob, you'll have to give her the setup that we are two disc jockeys who have no voice boxes.
Yes.
I can't keep doing it.
Don't you want to reveal that to her when she picks up so you get to hear the reaction? Because if I tell her that, she may back out.
It's the Tobacco Road Show, two DJs who've had their voice boxes.
I'll just call Smokey Joe's Tobacco Road and she'll be
just
able to
call. Hi. So you enjoy eating pig sandwiches. Yes, it's always good to have you on the show. Thank you, lady. Hey, where's my Campbell's? Fantastic. So she makes pig's brains. I wonder if she smokes them.
Is it?
I'm smoking through my hole right now.
That's sad.
Hi, Buzz. That's how addicted I am.
Hi, Joe.
The sweet rush of nicotine.
They have the patch now, you know, Joe.
Yeah. F the patch. Who needs the patch? You can't get the fine quality feeling of nicotine. Where's my red man chewing tobacco? Busy, bitch. Goddamn city. How about some story to do with vegetarians? I can't wait to hear the instant feedback on this. I look forward to it. Let me take a nice drag on my lucky strike. Right now, I've got burning a cigarette, a cigar, my pipe, and of course, I have a wad of chaw in my mouth, just between my cheek and gum. Way to go, I hope you're enjoying that. Later on, we're going to go out and stand next to the freeway. Just breathe the air.
Great, this is Paul. I'm calling from good.
That's our producer, Paul. The Tobacco Road Show is brought to you by school.
Come on, we're going to do a brief interview with our host.
Boy, if I really stop it happening, it goes like this. We have to keep it down here. Absolutely.
She's going to another phone.
Going to another phone. Now remember, this is just the warm-up.
That's right.
Wait till we call the hot seat line. Fantastic. Most disc jockeys would give everything up after they had their voice boxes removed.
But not you guys.
We've decided to continue our career.
Brave men. Very brave.
No problem. Can we play a game?
Oh, it would be right now.
There's nothing like hearing Rob in the background. Sounding like a munchkin. Munchkin land.
Oh, Joe.
Let me move my dick.
Online.
Hey, Mike. Here's the setup.
Why am I talking like this? I can just say this to you. Mike, here's the setup. It looked like the friendly skies might not be so friendly to vegetarians.
Really? Ever since September 11th, heightened security has caused airlines to eliminate eating utensils. I never ate vegetables.
That means...
For fruit.
That means a lot of vegetarian dishes have been ditched in favor of finger foods like cold cuts and chicken nuggets.
I love cold cuts and beef.
So the guy wants airlines to put more vegetarian-friendly food on airlines.
That's a lady, Joe.
Hey, Joe. Joe, you know what food needs? More chemicals. Please.
Have some lovely smoked meats.
Smoked meats. That's a wonderful salad. Would you put some ammonia on it for me, please? Tasty. Sweet taste of nicotine. All right, are you ready? I'm ready.
Hold on.
Hey, Rob? Rob?
Do you think the lady will be uncomfortable talking to Joe Camel and Smokey Nicotine?
Tell her one second, I'm looking for the theme song right now to our show. God damn it, I've got it on one of these CDs.
Is it Smoke on the Water?
Smoking in the Boys' Room.
Smoking in the Boys' Room.
Got it.
Fantastic.
There we go. Hold on. Hold on.
Where are my paints? Where's my paint set? I need another dip. God, this is great chewing tobacco. I really like that. It really makes me relax.
Are you ready?
That first nicotine buzz.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
Very good.
Seems like everybody's getting on your case.
How are you doing out there?
Well, you know, I used to have to do about all the time.
This is Tobacco Road. I'm your host.
Let me tell you about it.
J.C. Joseph Campbell. And I'm Smokey Nicotine. And both of us have had our voice boxes removed.
But we are continuing to do our radio show, and we are joined this afternoon by Jerry Coffee from Huntsville, Alabama.
Jerry, are you on the line?
I'm here, loud and clear.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I hope you will be able to communicate with us, even though we have had our voice boxes removed.
Well, I think so, yes.
Very good.
Thank you. Let me say that it's sad the way society treats those of us who have lost our voice boxes due to our lifetime smoking and chewing of tobacco. However, even with our love of nicotine, there's nothing we love more than vegetables.
Speak for yourself, Joe. I do not care for vegetables. How about you, Jerry? Do you enjoy vegetables?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, once we learn better, that's all our diet consists of, except with the addition of seeds and nuts.
I'll tell you something. There have been two times that I've been upset in my life in relation to flying. One of the times was when they banned smoking on commercial airlines. The other time was after 9/11, when they started to change the airline food and they stopped serving my vegetarian meals. Do you share my level of upsettedness over this?
Well, yes, I do, but let me give you some reasons why I think they are missing, the airlines are missing a wonderful opportunity to have a...
I hate kale, and I hate turnips. Stop it. I'm sorry. Be open-minded towards vegetables. I will. You're open-minded towards tobacco products. I love tobacco. All of its forms.
You know,
tobacco.
some people would rather die than switch. They do die.
You got that right. And that's why we're here doing the show now. We have both lost our voice boxes, yet we are continuing to broadcast and sadly continuing to smoke. And I will tell you that even though we do the show now, that's not like the show we used to do. We want to say thank you to our fine sponsor, the Philip Morris Company.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but we are not here to talk about cigarettes, pipes, cigars, or chewing tobacco. Pardon me, I'm going to take a drag through my blowhole. We are talking about vegetables. Unlike
What the airlines are concerned about?
What?
First of all, they're concerned about their bottom line, money. Second, they're concerned about safety. And third, they're concerned about health. They can cover all three of these things. They can save themselves a lot of money.
Jerry.
Yes?
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Don't you feel society makes too much of a big deal about health?
Oh, no, not at all, because
I do.
You can't enjoy life if we're not healthy.
No, you can enjoy life. I would consider myself very unhealthy, and I've adopted a unhealthy lifestyle. But I will tell you this now, I've never been happier because I'm still smoking.
But that's going to be short-lived. Wouldn't you much rather have a longer life?
I, on the other hand, Jerry, speak from experience. I realize that smoking has destroyed my voice box, yet the demons will not let me stop. I don't want to smoke through my blowhole, but I'm continuing to. But I'm trying to balance it out with my favorite vegetarian dishes. So, you... I don't like vegetarian dishes, Jerry.
But I think that's only because you haven't been introduced to some delicious vegetarian dishes.
I would rather eat a tobacco leaf than a lime rub.
And what is your first name, please?
My name is Joseph.
Joseph.
And my
Joseph,
name,
what's
my
your
name,
favorite food?
She's talking to me, I believe, because I'm the vegetable lover. Go ahead,
but
Joe.
Joseph, what is your very favorite dish?
I will tell you what I had the other night. I was dining at a restaurant in Manhattan called Melissa Blue. I had a wonderful tofu and some type of egg salad in an oil vinaigrette, and of course, a pack of camels. Excuse me. Watch out there, you're leaking. I would have to say my favorite vegetable would be broccoli.
Broccoli.
But I enjoy most of my meals with tofu. If only I could stop the smoking. Damn this habit. Damn.
Something that would help you stop that smoking, I believe, would be carrot juice.
I can't think of anything more unappealing
than
carrot juice.
Have you ever had any?
Have you ever had any, Joseph?
I don't know. That's you talking to me, smoky nicotine.
I understand that.
I do not like anything made with vegetables. I enjoy baby back ribs.
But you don't. Do you like lasagna, for instance?
Only if it's frozen lasagna with lots of preservatives.
Oh, you're just determined to do yourself.
He is on a death march. No way. I will drink the carrot juice that you are asking, Jerry.
Well, how about an almond milkshake or a banana split made without dairy products?
Delightful, but unfortunately, while I would be having that banana split, I would also be enjoying my pipe and my cigar and my cigarettes.
You know, I guess everyone has some vices, but if you're going to have that vice, you might make up for or help accelerate it by having some delicious vegetarian food.
Jerry, can I tell you my idea of a good meal?
Please.
I'll tell you right now, the other day, I had a pinch of Copenhagen, after which I ate some pork rinds, a Twinkie, and Mountain Dew. That's my favorite soda, Mountain Dew Code Red.
Well, we're making some delicious sangria, because we have a class tonight. We teach a class called Healthy Alternatives.
I find that food tastes better if it's artificially colored. I am sad to say that my friend Smokey is not as evolved as I am. I know. Speaking on behalf of all of the camels, they're all deceased now except for me, Joseph. I wish to turn over a new leaf and not a tobacco leaf. Oh, you're making a big mistake. I will not stop smoking, but I do want to eat healthier.
Joseph, do you have a website?
I do.
Why don't we exchange websites? And I've got lots of information on my website that you might find interesting.
Beautiful. What is your website, Jerry?
www.allcreatures, ALL-creatures. .org/CB.
Beautiful.
Now CB stands for Coffee Break. My name is Coffee, and that coffee is spelled C-O-F-F-E-Y.
Let me give you mine, and then I will give her mine.
Please.
Mine is as follows. S-C-A.
Pardon me? S-C-A?
S-C-A.
And that is S as in Sam?
No. S as in Sam, C as in cat, A as in average.
Okay.
T-L-O, T as in Tom, L as in love, O as in ovarian.
Okay.
V-E-R, V as in vegetable, E as in eat, R as in refrigerator.com. That's my own personal website. Please log on and sign the message book.
Okay.
Would you like mine?
What is your radio website?
Mine is I haven't finished. www.aintgotnocigarettes.com. Our station site is www.tobaccoroad.com. We're a syndicated show on many stations throughout America. I hope you've enjoyed speaking with us.
Yes, I have.
Jerry.
Yes, I have, Joseph, and I hope you'll check out our website.
You're talking to Smokey, not Joseph.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Let me say thank you for speaking with us, even though we are two dust jockeys who have both lost our voice boxes. Right now, Jerry, we are giving you a giant yellow thumb up.
Well, you have a good day, Joseph and Smokey.
We will. Hold on, please, while our producer gives you our
number again. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I need a cigarette right now. I've got one right here. I have an entire carton. Give it to me. I don't want to give you my cigarette.
Give me a cigarette.
No.
Damn, I didn't smoke during the whole interview.
I will give you my bag of beech nut chewing tobacco. But I will not give you my last carton.
Okay. All right, now turn the stuff off. Turn the stuff off.
Okay.
All right, there we go.
Now we'll be able to hear Rob's.
Wow.
Rob's discussion with the woman.
See how it went.
Hi, Jerry. Hi, it's Paul, their producer. How do you think it went? They are a little verbose, but it was a very intriguing interview. Don't you think it's amazing what they do? Life is dealt Life has dealt them a bad hand, and they've made lemonade out of the lemon.
Christ.
Now they're doing quite well. You'd be amazed. They're very healthy for men of 38.
She doesn't
know. Didn't they mention their name, their ages? Yes, sir. 38 years old. Yes, they graduated, I believe, class of 81.
See if we can confuse her more. She doesn't know what to think.
They both have, they've taken their voice boxes out, yes.
How funny is this poor broad is still on the line with Rob.
I can't wait to hear what happened on the other side.
Is that, I'm sorry. You know what? I have to say good day.
Good day to you.
They're going on the air.
Gotta go. Oh, my God. The studio's on fire.
Rob. So much for calling her back.
Rob. Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
That poor woman.
This was the funniest goddamn thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
You know, I guess that way. Now we've turned around the Pete Moss and Less Human people.
It's good.
No, this is hilarious.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hey.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that was terrific. I was at work with tears in my eyes.
Okay, thank you, my friend. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
My name's Todd Bacco. Listen, I'm glad you plugged that Philip Morris.
Todd Bacco.
Todd Bacco, okay.
All right, goodbye. Hey.
There you go.
All right, one more call and we got a break. Jonathan, are you there? Jonathan?
Speak to us, Jonathan.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, John.
Hey, that was the funniest damn thing I've ever heard.
John and Mike?
Yeah.
I am totally grossed out, but I can't stop laughing.
Very good. Yeah, right.
I mean, we got a winner with this one. Hey, Liz, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys. That was actually painful to listen to. I'm in my car on the turnpike, and I'm just like, oh, my God, like shaking and twitching, just like, put hands at 10 and 2, like just staring at my pack of Marlboros on the dashboard in fear.
All right. Thank you, honey. Stay tuned.
Oh, this is fun.
We'll be back. This is a vanity one for
Don
me.
And Mike show.
Back then, drinking usually was a source of humor. Especially on the Dick Van Dyke Show. Off camera, no one recognized the problem.
I don't ever recall him not showing up. I don't ever recall him getting surly or nasty. I mean, I'm sure you'll hear this too. At certain times at around 5 o'clock, he would draw martini glasses on his script while we were having notes or something like that. But it never seemed to be an issue.
The Don and Mike Show. Working delightfully non-bleu, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That guy was not talking about me. No, he was talking about Dick Van Dyke. This is Rob Spiewak, and we're playing the best of Don and Mike. Finishing up today, we do have time for another segment and a great one. As you know, Don is the world's biggest fan of the Dick Van Dyke Show, so he's very excited to speak to Rose Marie. I think she had a ribbon in her hair, even. It's Rose Marie on the best of Don and Mike.
This is a vanity one for me. This is just, I'm going to
tell favorite
you.
Your favorite television show, right?
Of all time, even more than Batman. Mm-hmm. Rose Marie?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is Rose Marie, and really, if you ask me, if you pin me down, what is the greatest television show ever, and I swear on my kid's life, everybody will tell you this, it's Dick Van Dyke.
The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Very sweet, I appreciate that.
That it's the greatest, and I'm sad to say that I know so much about the show. It's ridiculous.
Why is that sad? That's wonderful. You're a big fan.
No, I am a big fan. I've got the books. I've since the advent of TiVo, I've actually, because it runs every morning at 9:30 on TV Land.
Yeah, I know.
I've been able to TiVo and switch to DVD every episode, and I have every episode of Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, so you collected them.
Oh, my gosh.
In order. And you could ask me, I mean, you get bored with this, you could ask about any episode, but I'll tell you exactly what happened. The one that ran today was the one where...
I know which one it was.
You do?
Sure.
See if she knows. See if she knows.
All right.
I was in it, remember?
Of course. Of course you were in it, but do you know it was that you and Buddy and Rob and Laura went to a cabin... that Alan Brady was going to get you a room at a cabin, and then you got up there to the cabin, and they didn't have a room for you at this lodge, and what happened?
We were in a haunted house.
In a haunted house, correct. And as it turns out, they were all being set up by Alan Brady and Mel Cooley.
That's right.
Because they were on, like, a candid camera show.
Oh, and they were filming the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, listen, there's no show... That is better in the history of television than the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Well, that's very sweet, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
And you should know that my son, who's 18 now and highly ungrateful for the great life the great life that I've given him, spotted you in the David Spade movie.
Lost and Found.
Where he goes looking for the dog. Right, Lost and Found.
Well, you know, I got to tell you something that's really very funny. People, and I'm very grateful, of course, people know me from the Dick Van Dyke Show, and many people don't know that I did anything else.
I would imagine
that's why
true.
I wrote this book,
right?
Hold the Roses, to prove that I had a very, very big career before the Dick Van Dyke Show, and also that I have a career after the Dick Van Dyke Show. I just finished doing a Tracy Ullman show. I did a couple of Carolines in the City. I did Surprising Susie. That's not the right title. What was the name of that show?
What was it? Suddenly Susan.
Shields.
Surprising Susie.
And what were you doing? Because I remember reading about that before the Dick Van Dyke Show. You were in films, right?
I was on radio. My big
radio. Okay.
Radio.
All right.
I had my own radio show when I was 5 years old.
I didn't know you were a child star.
And don't
God, yes.
And don't forget, Mike. For many years, I believe it was middle left. Or what was her spot on Hollywood Squares, Rob?
Top middle, I thought.
Top middle. I'll take Rose Marie to block.
Right above Paul Lynn.
I am going to be on again in September.
Oh, good for you.
So I'm in this movie with my kid, seeing this David Spade movie, because he loves David Spade.
Yeah.
And it's the scene where you're playing cards.
Yeah.
And he turns to me and says, "Hey, Dad." I swear to God, he says, "Hey, Dad. There's that lady you like from that show you like." That right away, he spots you. If I could ask you a question, not about Dick Van Dyke, about Hollywood Squares. How drunk would Paul Lynde get on Hollywood Squares?
Well, he wasn't that exactly drunk. I mean, we used to do 5 shows in one day. And we would do the first 3 shows. And then we would break for dinner, and then they would serve dinner. They would serve wine at dinner, and the last 2 shows were a little funnier than the first 3.
That's great.
I'll tell you a great story about Paul. And Paul told it on himself. He came in one night and he said, "You don't know what happened to me last night." He said, "I was driving home on the sidewalk," and he says, "and a cop stopped him, and he pulled over. And in California, you don't get out of your car. You wait until the cop comes to you."
Right.
So he got out of the car, and he went over to Paul with the pad and pencil. Paul rolled down the window, and he says, "I'll have a cheeseburger, hold the fries."
If I could embarrass baby Rose Marie, which she used to be known as, do you know that next Friday, this gal will be 80?
Way to go.
I wish you wouldn't say that.
No, it's a compliment. It's a compliment.
It's not really, because I find out that when you mention how old you are, people immediately put a picture in their mind of what you should look like at 80. And I don't look like that.
No, well, see, the thing is, that's why we can tell our audience, you know, remember Lost and Found. That was only like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, you still had the bow in your hair, like on Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
And I know you're tired of it. Could you answer one question about Dick Van Dyke?
Anything.
That I've heard that when they were casting the show, that obviously Dick Van Dyke was the star, and that you and Maury Amsterdam were going to be, you know, the secondary players.
Well, I was the second one signed.
Okay, so...
And Sheldon Leonard, who was a friend of mine, told Carl Reiner in front of me, he said, if you want the best, get Rose Marie.
Okay, so...
And which I thought was the nicest thing anybody ever said.
That's for sure.
And I didn't read for the part. I didn't even sleep for the part. I had the part without anything, and I said, who have you got for the third writer? And they said they hadn't picked him yet. And I said, what about Maury Amsterdam? I said, he used to be a writer. He wrote for Fred Allen and Milton Berle and everybody like that. And decided that he would become a comic, too. So he became a comic. He knew every joke that was ever written. He rewrote every joke that was ever written.
Was there a lot of rewriting on that show? A lot of ad-libbing?
A lot of ad-libbing during rehearsal.
Right.
But then we had to nail it down during the show.
Now,
but anyway, they called Maury in New York. And Maury said, first, when I was called, I said, I thought I was going to do the Danny Thomas show. Because Danny and I had been friends for years. And the woman said, no. She said, this is for the Dick Van Dyke show. And I said, what's a Dick Van Dyke?
You didn't even know him?
I didn't know anything. Well, you know, the East never knows what the West is doing anyway.
Right.
So when I got to the studio and they told me, you know, about the show, and I said, well, get Maury Amsterdam. And I gave him the number because he was living in Yonkers. And I went home and I called him and I said, they're going to call you about a new show. Called the Dick Van Dyke.
I'm not breaking it. She's 80.
She's telling a story. It's
I love this show.
I said, I don't know what it is.
I'm going to try to give her the sex quiz.
So come on out, you know. So I really got Maury the job.
Wow.
The question I had, I read all these books where it said that you three were hired as the crux of the show.
Yeah.
Rob and Buddy and Sally. Then Laura was supposed to be kind of like Dick would see her sometimes, and Rob would see her at home.
Yeah.
And then that relationship between Rob and Laura Petrie happened.
Yeah.
And then I've read stuff that said you were pissed at Mary Tyler Moore. Were you pissed at Mary Tyler Moore?
In many ways.
In many ways.
She was thinner than I was. She was prettier than I was.
Mm-hmm.
She was younger than I was. Wouldn't you be pissed?
Was there tension? Was there tension with her?
Pardon me?
Was there real tension with her?
No,
no,
not at all. We were both working together. We were both married. We both had children, and it was a very, very happy. I know you hear this all the time, but it was a very happy group. I mean, we couldn't wait to go to work every day.
You know that that's nice to know. And I'm going to tell you something too. As a fan of Dick Van Dyke, I would do Sally Rogers. I want you to know, and I'll tell you why, that I know that Laura Petrie is young and beautiful, but I think Sally Rogers, and I'm just talking about your characters here, would try harder in the sack. I got the feeling that Laura Petrie would just lay there and...
Rosemary, do you agree with that?
I guess I do, in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Absolutely. And one other storyline that I love that featured you was when you would go on the show that was... take off of the Carson show.
Yeah.
And
advertised for her husband.
Yeah, and Sally got so popular that for a while she had to quit working with Rob and Buddy.
Right. Yeah.
And she was going on this on the Stevie Parsons show. Yeah. See, I'm psychotic about your
Rob
show.
Rob, remember that Stevie Parsons thing.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, no, it's really an addiction. It's an awful...
Well, that's all in my book. Have you gotten my book?
No, I have.
Now, what is the name of the book, Rosemary?
The name of the book is called Hold the Roses.
Hold the Roses.
And the reason it's called that is when I was 3 years old, I won an amateur contest. And I sang and sounded then like I do today.
When you were three.
I've always had this husky voice, you know?
Now, do you live in California?
Yeah.
Are you going to vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I don't know. I don't know yet. I like the way he talks, but then everybody talks.
Do you think
and,
it's...
Anyway, I got the amateur contest, and I sang, and I ran off into the wings, and somebody threw a bouquet of red roses in one arm.
This is like talking to your grandma.
That's
red
right.
Red roses in the other arm, and the audience was yelling, bring the kid back. We want the kid. Let the kid sing. We want the kid, you know. So I threw down the roses, and I said, hold the roses. I have to take my bow.
There you go. So that goes in. It goes all the way back to the beginning with you, right?
All the way back to the beginning. But wow. The book is very interesting. I've been told many, many times, and I don't want to sound conceited, but I've been told that it's an easy read.
good.
It's very interesting. It's funny. And it's the history of show business.
Oh, cool. Wow. All right, well, then we'll look for it. We'll plug the book. You can get it on Amazon.com. I know that.
I had a big signing last night at Barnes & Noble here in town. And over 150 people showed up, so it was very gratifying.
Yeah, everybody still knows Rosemary, absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, so listen, it was great having
you. Well, now, don't forget, I'll tell you what's going on. I'm on the Tracy Ullman Show.
Yep, yes.
And I'll be doing Squares.
Hollywood Squares.
They're doing a biography on me in September.
For A&E?
Yeah.
Right.
And the Alan Brady Show... is a cartoon.
Oh, right, the TV Land thing.
Yeah, that's on the 17th of August.
Right.
And then in late September, we are, Carl has written a reunion show that goes from the last...
How long till she's appearing in a casket?
And we'll be taping that in September, which will go on probably... in October and November for the sweeps. And it'll show what everything has happened to everybody all during these years that we've been off.
Wonderful.
And I think they finally married me off to Herman Glimcher.
Oh,
well,
wow.
At least his mom won't be around anymore.
You know that, too.
I know that.
Well, listen, Rose, I really am a fan of your work and a fan of the Dick Van Dyke Show. I know you did a lot of other stuff, but that show was so important. And thanks for being on our show. Now, we do have one... favor that we'd like to ask.
Let me ask you one thing. Where are you from?
We're based in Washington, D.C., and we're on about 40 stations across the country.
Oh, I don't care about that. I just didn't know where you were, you know?
We're in D.C.
D.C.
Okay.
Give your book another plug. You earned another plug.
Please do, because I think it's a wonderful book, and I've been told that it's an easy read. It's the history of show business, and it's funny, and it's interesting, and... it's like talking to me on the phone, and I think everybody would enjoy it if they want to know. I worked with an awful lot of people, some of the best people in the show business, and I've done many, many things in show business, and it's called Hold the Roses.
Hold the Roses by Rosemary.
Go to Amazon.com. If you hold on a second, please, I never asked this. I'd love a signed copy.
Okay.
Because I'm just a nut about the whole Dick Van Dyke experience.
All right. You want me to send you one, or are you going to be cheap enough to ask me, or are you going to buy one?
I'll buy one.
Buy one. You just have to sign it.
I'll buy it. Hold on, though, and talk to our producer, would you, please?
Okay.
Thank you, Rose.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Now maybe you'll come around on that, huh?
No thanks.
Rosemary. But mind, she was only 44 during the Summer of Love.
Hold the Roses by Rosemary on Amazon.com.
She was a child star. I forgot that. She was a child star.
What I had read in all these books...
Baby Rosemary, right?
And even asked Dick Van Dyke about when we were lucky enough to meet him out in California, was that she was supposed to be like the female star, and then, you know, what's her name? Mary Tyler Moore came on, and all of a sudden... she might as well have had a because Sally Rogers became very masculine, and I guess that she was mad at Mary Tyler Moore about that.
Yeah, well, but if you do look at most of the episodes of Dick Van Dyke, as far as from a comedy standpoint, she probably would have more lines, funny lines in the show than Laura Petrie, right?
Not as the show went on.
As the show wore on. Well, that's because the show became a hit and then the relationship between those two.
And then people just realized what a piece of ass Mary Tyler Moore was. And, you know, even back in the day, they would dress her up in what were considered to be very sexual outfits.
That's right. And so after that, when that changed, then Rosemary turned into a garbage can.
And she'd take it up the...
Wow. And you will never... Now you will know that, and you will keep that with you for the rest of your...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Most major stars in those days did that, Don.
I find it hard to believe.
I'm sure if Maury Amsterdam, God rest his soul, was still with us today, you know, he would have participated in that.
Yeah, Richard Deacon lived on his stomach.
Mel Cooley?
Yeah, well, Cooley. You know, Richard Deacon.
When I was a kid, that's what they used to call my ass. My mom and dad never, of course, you know, because they were...
You're Cooley.
You're Cooley. Yeah. Does your Cooley hurt?
Yeah, after Mel Cooley. If you put two of Mel's heads together, get a Cooley.
There it is.
All right, anyway.
You put Mel and Alan Brady together, and you get a Cooley.
Anyway, that's...
That's Rosemary. That was a vanity booking because I
well, you know, it's
such a fan of that show.
You know, it just goes to show you never know. Age doesn't mean a thing because you never know who's going to be an interesting guest. Yeah. You think of it as generational, but you know, she would have no answers across the board.
I was thinking it would start to turn into a train wreck when it was. Let me tell you about all the people that I knew.
Well,
in show business,
as you said, like talking to your grandmother, likes to tell her story.
She's got that old lady thing happening.
And I think when you get to be that age, you want to tell your story. You want to get it out there. So you know, more power to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Get her ready.
Oh, my God.
Rosemary. Hi, Rob. Hi, buddy. How's it going? I'm ready to present myself to you. Jesus, I'm not...
Rosemary!
I'm not going to be able to watch that show tomorrow morning at 9:30 and not think of...
Oh, squeal! Squeal!
And for a second, then, I thought she said none. And you asked her how many partners, and yeah. I was like, well, she hasn't understood.
Yeah, right. Just one. But then two, because she had an affair.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot to ask her about Dick Van Dyke drawing the martini glasses on his pieces of paper at 5 o'clock.
Here we go.
All
right.
There she is. Okay, we got a break. Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
Hey, I got a statement and a question.
You think
number
so?
One, sick.
Oh, no. Maury Amsterdam.
Oh, now we could have all been resting.
maybe she'll sign my copy in Browning.
Oh, God.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike Radio God.
Howdy.
First time I ever to the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, wow. With Rosemary.
Oh, when she dropped that A-bomb, that was awesome.
Yeah. I'm with you, sir.
See you later.
All right, okay.
Every day, the Don and Mike Singer's cartridge seems to want to misfire. Excuse me one moment. Oh, you know what? It almost played that time. There it is! You know what's happening. The Don and Mike Singers, they're not getting any younger. Just like Miss Rosemary. Anyway, thanks so much for listening to the best of Don and Mike today. And remember, a reminder from all your friends at Infinity Broadcasting, Infinity registers America. Please get out and register to vote. You owe it to yourself as Americans. Go out there, register to vote, and make sure you vote. That's what makes you an American. All right? All right. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Tune in tomorrow for more Best of Don and Mike. Again, tomorrow, interviews, games, oh, and my favorite, calls from the listener. I do think you'll enjoy that. So tune in tomorrow. Stay tuned for Ron and Fez on many of these CBS stations. Adios. Au revoir. Good night. See you tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye.
So we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.